Some of what you are about to hear might be deemed offensive by some people. If you are insulted by people arguing about the New England Patriots and pretty much anything else, or by subjects like soap of the slot, gutter cleaners, people with big heads, Bilpolian, Egypt, wedge salads, and drilling for oil, you probably shouldn't listen to PFW in Progress. But if you do listen and hear something questionable, please do not be offended. We're just trying to entertain. In other words, some of the content of PFW in Progress may not be suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
The following takes place between 12 p.m. and 2 p.m.
Just sit right back and you'll hear some talk about a football team and rear end bubbles and wedge salads. PFW in Progress. The host was a mighty radio man. His crew was a childish bunch. They invited New England Patriots fans for a two-hour lunch. A two-hour lunch. The email started getting rough. The producer, he was lost. If not for the courage of the fearless Fred, the broadcast would be tossed. The broadcast would be tossed. The show's alive and it can be heard on Patriots.com with Brett Kirsch and Big Head 2. The balding one and his paunch, Scalavino, Tacoma, and Dr. D. PFW in Progress.
All right, welcome to PFW in Progress. It is Thursday here at Gillette Stadium. The weather's actually clearing up. We're getting some snow melting. And
very nice day today.
What's that?
Very nice day today.
Yeah, coaches, scouts hard at work preparing for this offseason.
Paul knows it's a very nice day because he actually just arrived at work today,
right.
So he was outside.
That's right. Exactly where my point.
Paul's been
in the park playing with the dog.
Point. Paul's had a very, very good meeting this morning, Freddie.
With?
None of your business.
Do I get an office?
Job interview?
Wow.
No, nothing to do with job.
None of my business, but he brings it up.
Well, just because that's why I was late. Told you I had a meeting this morning.
An appointment?
No, it's the financial guy.
The financial guy. Paul's got a financial guy.
I know. That just shows you how good he's doing.
Yeah. So, all right, good. So things are looking good from the Perillo household?
Yeah, for Will and TJ.
Oh, good. All right.
Their college fund is up 38%. In 1 year.
Did you do one of those?
I did.
Yeah, that's nice.
Andy, it must be great when you go on there for 3 hours and get a paycheck for not talking.
4 hours. I only talked for about 15 minutes of that.
Thank goodness for Obama. All right, welcome to PFW.
I just figured you were afraid to swear.
508-543-7482 is the phone number.
That was well done, Freddie.
Webradio@patriots.com is the email address. We'll be here for 2 hours. Two big hours.
You know how they call him the presumed candidate or whatever after the presumptive before they're actually anointed? Should I call him the presumptive former president?
Oh, I like that.
We'll see.
Presumptive one term, one and done.
All right, we're not going to turn this into politics. We've had enough of that.
No, I've already spent enough time not talking on radio shows.
I know. You were on in the heat of it yesterday, huh?
Worst show I've ever been a part of. By far worse than the show that I did on this studio by myself.
Wow.
That's how bad it was.
Wow.
I agree.
There were very few callers.
Why is that?
A lot of texters wondering if I was okay.
Yeah.
Because I wasn't talking.
Yeah.
One suggested they put a mirror under my nose to see if I'm breathing.
Right. Well, I it's funny. I was reading one of those media blog sites, and they said, you know, we've come to the quiet time in sports.
I took it literally.
No, aren't the Celtics and Bruins in the middle of their seasons?
Well, it's just because it's a long, tedious season.
Hot stove?
Yeah.
Right.
Hot stove.
Hot stove hasn't really been burning much.
You know, the NFL playoffs are still raging.
No, it is a rare downtime for Boston because the Patriots are done and have been now for a week and a half.
Yeah.
The Red Sox are still, 3 weeks or so away from even getting into their boring time. And the Bruins and Celtics, even if they're doing well, which right now both are struggling, even if they're doing well, it doesn't matter because it only matters when you get to, you know, to April and
especially
May.
Especially for the Celtics.
Yeah.
They're expected to be a high playoff team, and so right now it's irrelevant. Even though they're struggling, they're injured, it's irrelevant. They're going to be in the playoffs battling for a championship, assuming they're healthy. So right now we'll just yawn until we get there.
Speaking of irrelevant, MLS had their super draft last week.
Why was it super?
They need to move up 5 notches to get to irrelevant.
But why do they call it a super draft? Why not just a draft?
Because when you're trying to hype something up,
if anything's a super draft, it's the NFL draft.
Well, is there another draft that happens afterwards?
No, they have, before it, they sometimes do an expansion draft.
Mm-hmm.
But that's it.
You mean like when they have expansion teams? Oh, okay.
That's not what I'm talking about.
What was that other kind of draft they had,
to
Paul?
They have
that
to have
I wanted to
a contraction draft?
Yeah, the contraction draft.
There you go.
We were thinking on the bus, imagine what that would be like if, say, the NFL contracted and the Bills and the Jags were disbanded.
Yeah.
It's something we've never seen or really experienced.
Right.
Who would you take? If the Jaguars and the Bills, if the NFL cuts to 30, those two teams, those are good logical teams, right?
Yep.
Who would you take?
I like that Paul Pelusky guy.
Fred Jackson.
Maurice Jones-Drew.
Yeah. Maurice Jones-Drew would be my first. If I had the first pick, I'd take him.
I agree. Eric Hitzik. Well done, Eric. Good job. First contribution ever.
Wow, I just got a very condescending pat on the shoulder from Paul Pelusky.
You two have been fighting without really fighting for a week and a half now.
He corrects my grammar, and I condescend to him.
Well, Eric's over.
Good job in 010, Paul.
Eric has always wanted a hyphenated last name, so that's why he likes Maurice Jones-Drew.
I was thinking more in terms of the Bills, but Maurice Jones-Drew is
the name. Wow. Because you'd obviously be the woman.
Oh, jeez.
Eric's from Rhode Island.
Oh, that's true.
Can't do that in Rhode Island,
good
right?
Point.
But you can get married here.
One of the only states, I think, where in New England that you can't, right?
Really?
Well, every other state. Now, Maine, right?
Connecticut.
Maine, yeah.
Connecticut.
Vermont.
Vermont was the first one, right?
Can marry a tree in Vermont.
And people have.
Yeah. You'd be a sap, but... Oh.
Good, Doc.
All actually, right. Kind of liked it. I didn't think it was worthy of the...
All right. Webradio at patriots.com is the email address, 508-543-7482.
Freddie, what do you think of Sergio Kindle? Not the Kindle. Sergio Kindle.
No, you cut off my joke.
I know. It was going to be bad. I saved you from yourself.
I have no idea who he is.
I know. I'm just kidding. I've efforted to get John Rook on. He's an outside linebacker, defensive end, pass rusher out of Texas. Has all the measurables that, well, may have the measurables. He's estimated at a 4.7 40 time. And if Bill fixates on the 4.6, 6.4 guys, he may also not have the 6.4 by the time he gets done.
Last year...
What?
Are we getting into the draft?
Oh, we're getting into it, Paul.
Yeah,
People want to talk draft. I'm ready to talk draft,
damn it. We
don't
really have much to talk about yet, but...
I'm out.
last year...
If you want to talk politics, Paul's out. If you want to talk draft, Paul's
Sergio
out.
Kindle, let me just say I happen to love, Kindle. But not because of any draft preparation. I just... Watching the player...
No, I know, but...
I like him.
You can't just watch him, because Bill's not just going to watch him. Bill's going to measure him, and if he doesn't meet the standard...
I'll say this about him. A year ago... John Rook, when we first started the playbook again, John Rook said, keep your eye this year on Sergio Kindle. And I took note of that because the year before, he said to me in that season, keep your eye on Brian Arakpo.
Right.
And we all know what happened with him. So I've been keeping an eye on Kindle a little bit for the past few months. And now,
speaking of John Rook.
John's here to tell
guess
us
who's on the phone.
What's up, fellas?
Hey, we have a question for you.
Hey, thanks for lunch last week, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm sure you enjoyed. You enjoyed, Andy. Thanks.
Thank you to Colt McCoy for being a pansy.
It was a little smaller than our usual order, but it was nice.
we wanted to keep it down a little bit for you.
I appreciate
and thanks
you
for stepping inside the
me.
Playbook, John. By the way,
what's that?
Thanks for stepping inside the playbook.
You're very welcome, but you can't use that line. I have a patent on it.
Okay.
That'll cost you $25.
Well, that's good. We're still up, 50 from the 70 we spent last week.
So keep using it, Paul.
So, John.
Yes.
Sergio Kindle, I need a scouting report about him. Would he fit here? Do you want him here? Where is he going to go in the draft?
You know, it's actually kind of funny that you guys are talking about that today because my 14-year-old son is an expert on everything. you know, we were talking after watching the Alabama game and still saying, you know what, there are two players on that Texas team right now that would be tremendous fits for the Patriots. One of them is Sergio Kindle. The other one is... now I'm drawing a blank.
Shipley?
Yes, Jordan Shipley. And let me deal with obviously with Kindle. He's a quintessential outside linebacker. He's not really a down lineman. He never really played that position. Even though they did line him up as a rush end on a lot of occasions. But he would be tailor made for a 3-4 defense.
Mm-hmm.
He's got great quickness. He's got very, very good strength for his size. Is about 6'3 and about 245, I think, somewhere around in there. The one thing I like about Kindle is that he hits very hard. Just go through some of the archives. Just in fact, just Google Sergio Kindle. In fact, do a do an image search, and half the pictures in there are him decapitating players. So, you know, if you want somebody that can play rush end, somebody that can, you know, put heat on the quarterback, somebody that can probably go one-on-one against what I would think would be, you know, pretty good tackles in the NFL, then I think this guy would be a very, very good fit. I also think that he would probably be, you know, available, you know, in the slot in which the Patriots, if they hold on to their first-round draft pick, I think he could probably last that far.
John,
so that's why I think, you know, that choice among all of them really makes a lot of sense for New England, because it's clear, we all know, they need the help in terms of not only the linebacking core, but in terms of getting pressure on the quarterback.
Now, how did he play this year? Obviously, he had some success playing opposite Arakpo, or with Arakpo getting a lot of the attention. Yeah. How did he play this year as kind of the guy?
He did okay. You know, he didn't have quite as much success as Arakpo, only because, you know, he was getting double-teamed a lot this year.
Right.
But he still made all Big 12. So, I mean, and the fact is, you know, it's a league that obviously has Ndamukong Suh, and everybody's seen how he can play. So his overall numbers, I think, were comparable, but I think a little bit below last year. Although the one thing that really impressed me the most about Kendall this year is the fact that he stayed healthy for all 14 games.
John, Andy and I have been, you know, starting our draft research in earnest the last week or so. And one of the things we're seeing about Kendall is that a lot of Texas fans see him as a bit of a disappointment based on the expectations he had coming into Texas as being this all-world type of player, a Lawrence Taylor type at that position. Do you share that at all, or have you heard any of that?
Well, I've heard some of it, but, you know, I think it's because any time you are USA Today's number one high school recruit coming out of high school, which Kendall was, you know, then you're obviously setting yourself up for a huge fall, aren't you? I mean, and that's what he was. He was the player of the year for USA Today when Mack Brown recruited him. So, you know, and he did start off admittedly slow, but that's because they had him basically playing, you know, he was a true linebacker in high school. And, of course, Texas morphed him into that, you know, defensive end, which he obviously ended up playing very, very well. But he's going to actually end up going back, I think, to what his natural position would be, which would be, you know, an outside rush linebacker in a 3-4 defense. I think he's absolutely perfect for that particular role. Now, I don't share a lot of that sentiment. You know, I'm not like a lot of Texas fans where, you know, it's like, oh, you know, if he doesn't, you know, have 15 sacks and, you know, 65 tackles and, you know, and two picks or whatever, you know, that it's a bust. I don't look at it from a numbers point of view. I look at what does he offer the team? What's his value to the team? How much better is the defense with him than without him? And it's very clear that Texas defense, while it was good without him, it was much better with him, because he engaged at least two offensive linemen on every snap of the ball, which allows guys, you know, allowed the secondary, allowed Earl Thomas, allowed you know, a lot of other guys to be able to make plays. The other guy that I actually like from Texas defensively is Lamar Houston, the defensive tackle. And Lamar Houston is undersized a little bit. But I think he could probably – I don't know that he would be a fit so much for the Patriots. But, you know, he's got a great motor. He's got tremendous drive. He's got the ability to get in the opponent's backfield. You know, I think Lamar Houston will make somebody a very good pro. But as far as Kendall's concerned, if he's tying up a couple of guys, somebody else is going to be able to make a play.
Yeah,
so that's what really
makes
him impressive.
I loved Kendall, John, and I liked. I thought he was a dominant player in the BCS title game.
He had
as
a great
well.
Game.
And
yeah, he had
I
great,
also
had
saw
game.
The report. I think Chris Conley did the report on him on ESPN about his friendship with the high school teammate who ended up passing away tragically, and, you know, his friendship with the family, the relationship that he maintains,
right.
And how he was sort of working to help him as a high school player even. I thought there was some character shown there. And,
yeah.
And listen, he obviously has the talent. Then you hear about stuff like that off the field, and you're intrigued by a kid like that. So
Very true.
I think he makes a lot of sense for the Patriots.
He had some maturity issues when he first arrived on campus there, and a lot of that is because, you know, anytime you're anointed, you know, as the next LT, as you guys kind of put it, you know, he probably had a little bit of a swollen head. And I think the one thing that I love about what Mack does at Texas and what the guys do in that program there is they have a tendency very quickly to bring you back down to earth And so I think he paid a very small penance. I think he was suspended for a game or two very early in his career. And then he's been on the straight path ever since. He learned a lot. And as you said, there are some very strong, solid character issues with him now. And he's just a good guy. He's a good teammate. And he's obviously a potentially explosive player. And plus, he fills a need the Patriots desperately need.
Right.
So, you know,
and he's definitely
think
one
win-win.
Of those 19 to 25 kind of range players. Yeah. And there's a big group
theoretically
of right now. I mean, listen, it's January.
Well, I've seen him listed as a top 10 prospect.
You guys are the ones
places,
that wanted to talk
so.
Draft. I mean, we're gonna drive all over.
I mean,
the place
I think he's
the next
looks like he's
months.
An 8 to 42 kind of guy. Basically,
he could be depending on the combine guys. He could explode easily into a top, 15 guy.
The thing for him, as always, is the 40. I've seen a lot of estimates at 4.7. If he runs that, he'll be lower. If he runs a 4.58 or something, he'll catapult up.
Yeah, well, I think you're right, and I think he's got the potential to run that 4.58. He's probably closer to 4.7, but like I said, it really all depends on the combine.
Right.
Regardless, all you have to do is just look at the game tape on him. And see how, you know, he occupies two guys, and when they do put, you know, a single offensive lineman on him, he usually whips that man into submission.
And the other thing from a Patriots perspective is whatever recommendation Will Muschamp gives him to Bill Belichick will carry a lot of water, because we know Bill really respects Muschamp, really likes him, and we know that a lot of the techniques that Muschamp teaches his players on an individual basis are
same
things
stuff.
He'd have to do here. Yeah. So that, if anything, increases his value here more than other places.
You think Belichick will offer Muschamp the defensive coordinator job?
Well, we tried to pose that on the website.
We floated it.
Yeah.
We had it on. I think he'd take him. I do. I'm not sure he wants to bring somebody in from the outside. Ideally, he'd rather have him come in as linebackers coach for 2 years and then move him up. But I think he thinks very highly of Muschamp.
Yeah. Well, obviously Texas thinks highly of him. That's why, you know, he was basically named the coach in waiting.
Right.
And they obviously paid him well enough because he turned Tennessee flat down for their head coaching job, and I know Tennessee offered him a very lucrative deal. So Texas is obviously taking care of Will Muschamp, and they don't want him to go, and that's how highly they think of him. I think he's perfect. I don't think you could find a better coach, not only to A, replace Mack right now, but B, just to come in and coach up that defense. And Texas, you know, they're not going to be, I mean, Alabama should be favored next year based on who they have coming back, but, you know, Texas will still be a top 10 team next year, even with the kid Garrett Gilbert taking over at quarterback. So I don't really think they have any worries where that's concerned. But Kendall would be perfect in that 19 to 25 role, and hopefully the Patriots, if they don't trade up or down or whatever they do, you know, that would be an opportunity for them there. But I also think that in the second round, guys, a value pick there in the second round would be Jordan Shipley. Shipley, number one, can stretch a defense. Number two, he could come in and basically fill and be that slot receiver if you really want somebody to be a slot receiver. I mean, and look, you saw both of those instances in the BCS title game. I mean, number one, you know, over the middle. Number two, he caught those two touchdown passes and ended up making chicken salad out of, chicken feathers on those two passes from Gilbert, you know, to make the game interesting there in the fourth quarter. Shipley caught, what did he catch it? 360 balls or something like that this year. I mean, it was just an extraordinary number for a Texas wide receiver. And, he was rightfully a Biletnikoff finalist. And you have to remember, he spent 6 years in college. He got this was his sixth year of eligibility because he had injuries early.
So he's leaving Texas early.
Pardon?
Forget.
Oh, yeah.
It was a shot at Texas.
Funny. Yeah, very funny.
And then I was thinking, if we wanted to stick all Texas for the draft in the fifth round, we'll go after Colt McCoy.
If he lasts that far.
I'm just teasing you, John.
All right, John, thank you for that quick synopsis.
Stepping inside the playbook,
yes.
John Rook.
John Rook.
From his baseball.
You're welcome.
That's another $25, Paul.
That's okay. I love that phrase.
SID for Texas, John Rook,
yes.
Joining us. Okay. So Jack Preston from...
certainly a ringing endorsement for Sergio Kendall, yeah, for the guy who knows, by the way.
Preston from Brockton says, let's talk draft. I'm done.
Bye.
So he obviously didn't like that.
I agree.
That's okay.
It's a little early.
We're just giving the fans what they want, and virtually every single SPFW is draft-related. Specific prospects.
Yeah, sure. They got to give us a little bit of a chance to
do our homework.
I do agree
with that, but we're not ready.
Let's see. Stripper says there's some hot news posted by Greg Rosenthal, I guess at Pro Football Talk. Darrell Revis isn't known for trash-talking like his coach. He's always a reserved, intelligent, respectful public speaker, except when you bring up Randy Moss. In a segment for NFL Network last Sunday, Revis played a word association game and used the word slouch. Asked to define what he meant, Revis said, "You know what a slouch means." Revis was asked about the comments again on Wednesday. He stood by what his remarks were but wanted to squash the issue. "I don't need to speak on it anymore. I said what I had to say. That's what it is. I said it on national TV. Everybody saw it. I'm just speaking the truth after all." It looks like Chris Carter has another ally in the great "did Moss dog it or not" debate of 09.
So. I was just disappointed he didn't clarify what he meant by slouch.
Well,
because I still don't technically know.
He said, "You all know what slouch
no,
means."
No, I don't. I would if I had been there, I'd have said, "Well, not really."
Yeah, Karen Garigian wrote that story, by the way,
yeah,
in the Herald today.
Yeah.
She blogged it.
She also had
afternoon.
A quote saying, "It comes down to you show a man respect." He admitted that had they shown me respect, I wouldn't be talking. I'm talking because they disrespected me.
And that's what Andy brought up on Tuesday when we first talked about this.
Which
story.
Would fall in line with where, yeah, right, when Fred wasn't listening.
When Fred wasn't paying attention
to us. Which falls in line with the lead to that story, which is he generally doesn't talk trash. He's a respectful guy. You know,
that's the thing about
disrespect
him.
Disrespect me, I'm going to disrespect you.
And I think that this all started with the comments that came out after the first meeting about anybody could do that. I could be a shutdown corner in this league if I had safety help.
We were there when Moss
which was a
comments.
Classless comment to make after a game that you lost and a very unpatriot-like comment to make as
but
well.
But he also said if he had Merriweather over the top. But do you ever really know if you're going to have Merriweather over the top? It's hit or miss.
Hey, that's a good point.
usually miss.
for the Pro Bowler.
Not really.
But then I thought that he even exacerbated that by bringing it up again. I mean, okay, heat of the moment after the game, I'll give anybody a pass after a game.
Right.
Because in that half hour or so after you just lose a football game, I'll give you a pass. Much like we talked about with Josh McDaniels and the Broncos. And one of the PR guys actually brought that up, saying in his vast experience with a number of teams, guys say things all the time. But when it happens on 9 weeks later, leading up to a game, and again, Moss is reiterating the same things, and this time he got his boys to
Killer
back
bees.
Him with Belichick and Brady saying similar things. I thought that was very disrespectful to Revis. Revis didn't make a big deal out of shutting him down the first time around. Now, the Jets did, but Revis didn't.
Right.
Because that's really not Revis's style. Now, it's Rex Ryan's style to be boisterous about stuff like that, and then they did it again, and then they tried to embarrass him in the game, and it didn't work. And still, they didn't give him any credit for doing it. They maintained that it was double teams and shaded coverage and all that stuff. So I guess he had enough.
All right.
That word association game, by the way, they brought up a lot of other receivers.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Andre Johnson was brought up, and the word he used was beast. And there was Ocho Cinco was brought up, and it was competitor.
Mm.
Moss was brought up slouch.
Wow. Well, that's...
And T.O., by the way.
That's something.
I wonder what that word would have been, though, if Moss hadn't said anything after that first game.
Great.
Probably would have said something like
Hall of Famer.
Right.
Something like
the measuring stick. I bet it would have been something like that.
Right.
But instead?
Yeah, man!
I can't believe still that he didn't win Defensive Player of the Year.
Well, you know, it's interesting you bring that up. I agree. But also, Marvin Lewis for Coach of the Year?
Everybody said during the course of the season that Revis might not win it because his team wasn't good enough. They weren't going to be a playoff team, blah, blah, blah. Well, they ended up being a playoff team, and he still didn't win it. To me, that's absurd. They make it at the end of the year.
In December.
But they should make it at the end of the playoffs.
Well, I don't care if the guy is on a playoff team. To me, it's a regular season award. No, that's what it is.
I think it should include, it should be a full season, including playoff award.
Well.
You know,
I mean, you can make that argument. I would disagree with it, but
I don't think that would rule out people who don't make the playoffs. But I think that the playoffs should be taken into consideration.
Well, I wouldn't say that Darrell Revis is the player of the year because of the playoffs.
And I wouldn't either.
In the regular season.
I'm not saying that, but it would kill the argument of those people saying, "Well, the team wasn't that good."
Right. But it was. It ended up being a playoff team.
But Fred's saying in the case where it's still snubbed.
They were finished 9-7, and they backed their way in because the Colts didn't finish them off. So you can make that case that at the time the vote was taken, you didn't think they were going to be that good. You know, but now that's thrown out the window now.
But
they are that good.
My point is
the reason they are where they are is because of that defense.
But at the time the vote was taken, they were one of the 12 playoff teams. You can say whatever you want.
I agree with Fred's premise.
I think
you should take a season in its total And not that doesn't necessarily mean if a team doesn't make it that the player
isn't. That's a different argument that you guys are making.
But don't
fine.
You think if they did do that, he'd have been defensive player
evidently
of the year?
Not. Huh? Why? I mean, what happened in the last 2 weeks that would change that? I don't really get it.
Well, the dummies that, you know, didn't realize it would have realized it by
See,
now.
See, I think people think. I mean, Charles Woodson had a great year. I don't think he had a Darrell Revis year. Now, I got to see Revis a lot more than I got to see Woodson. I'll plead guilty on that. Maybe I'm underestimating Charles Woodson.
Right.
But I did see him a few times, and I just didn't see him making the impactful kind of plays that I saw on a weekly basis. Just subtle plays, you know, routine, second and 10, they take a shot deep, and he's got you blanketed every time.
But not just you. The you being the best receiver on the other team.
That's
whether it's Andre Johnson, Terrell Owens, Randy Moss, the stats are well documented.
But you know what I'm saying? I'm not even talking about...
And he makes it look easy.
I'm not talking about the play.
You didn't have to watch it to know it.
Right.
He's on a defense where the defense calls for him to match up with the opponent's best receiver, and the best receivers, it wasn't like he played the 06 Patriots, and he played Rishe Caldwell twice. He was matched up against the best of the best every week, and not only shut them down, but frustrated them.
Yeah.
I just don't know what people had to see.
That's right. Why I don't think the playoffs would have made any difference. I think people obviously thought Woodson was better this year.
I just don't even understand.
I don't get it.
Yeah. I mean, I didn't see Woodson play enough. I know he had great numbers.
So Woodson, part of a defense that allowed 51 in the playoffs.
Exactly.
I'll tell you that.
Darren Sharper had great numbers, too.
But I didn't see. I don't think it would have because you're dealing, again, with a team that people obviously didn't respect in the Jets.
Yeah.
And one that, for whatever reason, they did respect in Green Bay. I don't know.
Yeah. Anyway, and then what do you think about Marvin Lewis's coach of the year?
I have no problem with that.
You don't? Really?
That's a bad football team.
Yeah.
I was a little
surprised. that won 10 games and went to the playoffs.
I know.
I have no problem with that.
I don't know.
I mean, if they went undefeated, I think Caldwell would have got it. And I don't think Caldwell was the best coach of the year either.
I don't think it was a great year for coaches overall, but... I mean, you could have made an argument for Caldwell, but I was a little surprised.
Sean Payton?
They said in the article about that, the reasoning they gave was because of the death of Chris Henry and one of the coaches.
Mike Zimmer's wife.
True. They included all that, and yet they still got to the playoffs.
I mean, I guess if you bring it in that context.
Everybody thought the season was going to go down the crapper because Chad Johnson wrote a book in whatever it was, September, October, ripping him.
They were on Hard Knocks.
Mm-hmm. He certainly had some chat. He works for Mike Brown.
Right.
And somehow they were one of the better teams in the AFC.
He had a quarterback who had to hand off with only one hand.
It was a strange year, too.
He had challenges.
You know what else was funny? They had a year that a lot of good teams, Eric just kind of touched on this, a lot of good teams had coaches that I don't think had good years. You know, Minnesota, I think Brad Childress had a very shaky year.
Oh, yeah.
He's not a good coach.
I think Dallas, Wade Phillips was a shaky coach.
Just signed a three-year extension, by the way.
Certainly Belichick. I don't think this was Belichick's finest hour.
Right.
I think a lot of the playoff, and you're not going to give a coach of the year to a non-playoff team more than likely. I mean, I suppose it's possible if Jim Schwartz went 8-8 or 9-7 and they didn't make the playoffs, I think he would have gotten consideration.
Oh, you could have argued last year for Belichick, who did a great job after Brady went down and they didn't make the playoffs.
Sure. But
I think the guy who lost it was McDaniels. I think
McDaniels had it.
The front runner.
McDaniels had it and fell apart.
Because they like to give it to first-year coaches.
Sure.
I mean,
it was a weird
kind of dynamic.
If
a guy changes an organization, you get a lot of credit for that.
Yeah. I mean, I think if you asked me, Freddie, I think it probably would have gone with Sean Payton.
Sean Payton.
But I don't really have a huge problem with Marvin Lewis. I think he dealt with a lot this year.
I like Tom
Cable. And
they
did all right.
I think that
if they had a quarterback.
Just for having to deal with Al Davis,
can
he deserves
an award.
Can you believe
that? They're denying that they're talking to anyone.
To everyone.
It's just like.
They've interviewed guys.
I know. And then they deny it.
Now there's numbers. Ridiculous. There are numbers for Harbaugh. 5 years, 20 million, or 4 years, 20 million.
We
have a contract ready just in case.
Not only they're interviewing guys, they supposedly have already complied with the Rooney Rule.
Yeah. Well, I mean, if you interview that many people, one of them is going to be a minority.
I mean, they've gone so far not just to interview guys. They've taken into consideration, got to remember about the Rooney Rule now.
Yeah, it's unbelievable. That
the former Chargers linebacker, why can I not remember his name?
Junior Seau.
It's an inside. Woodrow Lowe. Woody Lowe.
Oh.
They interviewed former Chargers linebacker. I didn't even know he was, by the way, on the head coaching radar, which
I've never heard of him.
Well, they actually, I didn't know it was
a
Chargers.
If they hire him, he'll be able to give him tips on the Chargers.
Well, no, this is like a Air Coryell.
That's what I mean.
That's what Brett's talking about.
That's how out of
the
loop.
It's a red shirt that you got there.
That's a lot of red.
Wow, Tacoma just walked in.
It's Sunday and you're on the Masters and leading the pack.
Are you on Denny Terrio's Dance Fever tonight or something like that?
Wow, Fred's really going back.
Red and shiny.
You got to unbutton that top button, though.
No, you don't.
No, don't.
Keep your nips covered.
So, all right, web radio at patriots.com, 508-543-7482. Is the phone number.
Another budding topic.
Fred. Yes.
Did you see the NFL is supposedly debating hotly whether Tim Tebow will be among the draft
invitees
to New York?
Oh.
Because he could go.
Right.
Well, I think
who
they
knows
should.
Where, so who
day
knows
one
or I'd
day
two.
Saying no.
I think they
Thanks
should invite
Thanks for the
him.
Invite, but I'm not going.
I think they should invite him because those people that have never met Tim Tebow will have been better
That's
people
true.
For having
That's
done
true.
So.
That's Maybe true. They could have
According to Tim
before
Brando,
the draft.
Right? What's right. Tim Brando had said that, right, on CBS?
Yeah, one of those losers.
Those of us who have met Tim Tebow are better people for it, I think was the quote.
Yeah.
I'd like to meet that girl.
Oh.
Supposedly he didn't know her, by the way.
No, I know. It was random.
Okay.
I just want to meet her.
So hot.
She has some of the biggest tatas I've ever seen in my life.
And well-proportioned, too. Just... Stunning.
Well, I'm not sure about that.
Bit top heavy.
Right. Well, need a crane to keep her upright.
And I hate to see her at the age of 50.
Right.
No, she wasn't like one of those busty Morgan girls that run out
not
on the baseball.
Ridiculous,
field.
But no. If you saw her in real life, ridiculous.
Well, I can think of other words besides ridiculous.
Fred's thinking of
ridiculous as in Mendenhall ridiculous?
Yeah.
Sort of.
Yeah. I don't know. I've lost interest after the pick Mendenhall.
Okay, on the phone right now, Tyrone from Delaware is there. How are you doing, Tyrone?
That's old. That was from last week.
Or that? Tuesday.
That was
what
from
are you
Tuesday.
Doing?
Oh, I just popped up the thing and it said Tyrone from
so
Delaware.
So much for instant messenger.
Well, Tyrone, if you're out there, call in.
That's
We've
why.
Already introduced you.
Oh, God, that was... That's just great.
That's your best one ever,
perfection,
Fred.
Perfection,
that's
right
your
there.
Best one ever.
I don't know. He yells at me for not checking that. I check it. It said Tyrone from Delaware.
Oh, God.
Isn't there a way to clear that so it's blank?
Yes. He could have logged off or turned off the computer after
that.
The show.
I don't do that.
Okay. Let's see. Let's get to some emails then, shall we? I think Brady would be better if we had a third string wide receiver. Who you do think will be with Welker out? We haven't had a good third-string receiver since Gaffney and Stallworth. I think Terrence Nunn. I love the guy. He's good. He's longer on the Patriots.
That is, Buccaneer.
We've had so many people think he's just going to get called up. He's on the Bucs.
Although
in Fred's world, where everything you're allowed to do whatever you want, maybe they'll just call him up from the Bucs.
That was Dylan from New York, by the way.
You're a little unhappy.
Well, on the blog, at least five people thought Nunn was in the conversation. They also seem to think Brandon Tate's just going to be fine.
Yeah.
And Welker, too. Everyone's just
and
including
Welker.
Right, right.
One guy said, with Moss and Welker, then you throw in Edelman, Tate, and Nunn. I think we got
a
good
group.
Fine.
I'm telling
well, yeah,
you.
Maybe if they were all there and part of this organization and healthy, sure.
The
but
Patriots
they're not.
Need wide receivers, plural.
You know
yes,
who might
you're
know.
Right.
Desperately.
So would you take the other Tate, Golden?
Just like last year.
He's a wide receiver.
I like Golden Tate.
No. Because I think
not high. Well,
not high.
That's going to be
the
issue.
Round?
Well,
yes.
that could be the issue. Yeah. But I mean,
I need
on
to know
paper,
what it is.
I've seen enough of Notre Dame where I think that he is a sure
hands.
Thing.
Oh, come
but
on!
But does it make him a sure thing because he's coming from one system to the same, rather than trying to teach Chad Jackson and Joey Galloway?
So you're saying, yeah, everyone says that Notre Dame ran a pro system, which
they did.
Clause.
They ran
not just
a
pro system.
System.
It was Charlie Weiss's New England system.
Don't yell at me. I'm just saying what they're saying.
Okay. Well, I mean, we have a defense.
Stop repeating dumb stuff.
Tight ends, and but, we don't touch the mother.
I didn't yell at you.
It just seems that.
No, you rolled head. Your eyes and shook your head.
I shook my head.
A
in
lot
disgust.
Of the Notre Dame games I've seen, they get themselves into these situations where they have to come back from these stupid.
Well,
you
that's not
deficits.
Anything to do with him.
No. But I'm saying is, I don't know what kind of system they run because they always seem like they're.
I can
you
tell
know,
you this from watching a lot of Notre Dame this season. Their offense was virtually unstoppable from the first possession of the game to the last possession of the game. They didn't always score in proportion to that, and their defense couldn't stop anybody
right.
all year. That's why they got in big deficits.
And he made a lot of big catches.
He made great catches.
Not just a lot of catches, big catches.
And
I
great
think Jimmy,
ones.
If they had found a way to win just a few games, Jimmy Clausen would have been in the Heisman race.
Mm-hmm.
because he had that good of a season.
Right,
but when you lose that many games,
right.
you know, much like the other awards, it automatically disqualifies
you. It just seems like,
you
know, like Paul said, they did move the ball. There's no doubt about it. But it was always like they were trying to come from behind, a last-ditch effort and all this stuff. And,
but why
know,
is what does that have
happens,
to do with Tate playing?
When that happens, you throw the playbook out the window, and now you're doing whatever you need to
he's
do.
He's still running the same routes.
Yeah, I don't
you
know
don't
why
throw
you
the playbook out the window and say, just go.
You throw your game plan out the
right.
window.
That's what I mean.
But your plays are the same. Yeah.
And the playbook is the same one that he has here. Yeah.
Instead of running on second and 10 the way the Patriots do every time, they just throw the ball every play.
Right. I don't know. He seemed okay, but he wasn't like, to me, he didn't seem like a blue chipper.
Well, he's not.
Yeah, I don't think he's a
second tier.
He's not a first round. He's not like a high first round pick.
But
he's not
about
Calvin Johnson.
He's a guy who could just come in and play. You need a guy who can come in and play. And if you draft a guy, that's generally, 50-50, flip a coin?
And I think that's the best place the Patriots have had success is those second tier guys.
Yeah.
I like Golden Tate.
I think what he did, and like, to me, it's a positive that he comes from one system to the next, and there should
Absolutely.
Be a transfer of lingo, plays, everything, so that it's quicker, it's easier.
Well, Golden, he's a gem. Let's see.
His name's not Diamond, because Diamond Ferry that would have worked. He's a gem,
right?
Diamond Ferry,
oh, Golden
glitter,
Golden
metal.
Syracuse.
Yeah. Golden, he shimmers or whatever.
Glitters.
I mean,
okay.
I'm one Diamond Fair.
You're having a terrible day. Thank God I got rid of that other Kindle joke before you even spit it out.
Let's see. Hi, my name is Jesse from Perth, Western Australia. Do we have a pin in Perth, Western Australia?
Let's go put a pin in Perth, Eric.
Perth, Western, though.
How come his?
Yeah, probably that's the west side, yep.
Did you put a pin in?
No, good. We need a pin.
Where are the pins?
He's just curious when the Patriots schedule for 2010 will be released so I can plan my trip
April,
to the
crap.
United States.
It's Groundhog Day. It starts all over again, the same questions.
It's usually around April.
April, early April.
Yeah, the
every
owners
year,
meet
same time.
Beginning of April, and then slowly after that, things start
Late
to
March
trickle
sometimes.
Out. The primetime games trickle out. Then a few other games. You start being able to piece it together. And right around the draft or just
before
the draft,
yeah,
they come out with the full schedule.
And believe me, PFW is
watching. And we usually end up screwing it up on the web.
Chris Ferreira.
No, nothing to do with Chris. We just do something.
We know
he's
the webmaster. He presses go.
No,
how does it not Chris's fault?
Last year was not his fault. He put up, I think we had all the home and away or something like that. And he put them up in a random order. And all of a sudden, somebody from Pro Football Talk or somebody emailed Pro Football Talk, Patriots have released, you know, they've leaked out their schedule.
Ferreira sucks.
And it was
Christmas.
Just random order, you know.
But we'll be watching as much as anyone because Paul and I were already talking. That there's a chance we're on Thanksgiving, and there's a chance that we're traveling Christmas Day. So believe me, we're planning our little in-seasons as much as
we're planning on our wives hating us for the
Christmas
the
Day
Christmas
falls
season.
On a Saturday, so if we're on the road on the 26th, we'll be traveling on Christmas Day.
Yeah.
And we also play at Detroit, which gives us a 50% chance of appearing
on Thanksgiving
because they will play an AFC team on Thanksgiving, Detroit will this year because
they
played an NFC team last year.
I don't think it'll be us, but
I do.
It's either going to be us or the other AFC East team. I think it's the Jets that they play.
Oh yeah,
but I think the Jets had the Thanksgiving game against Dallas a couple of years ago. So I think
I don't know who the other team is that plays.
I hope it's not the Jets. I hope it's the Bills.
In 07, the Jets played Dallas on Thanksgiving.
Well, you had a good theory that on those Thanksgiving days they don't really care about the marquee.
I think you put the dog
because. People are going to, there's no other alternative.
That's
People
why I picked the Bills. The biggest dog I could find.
Now, I would also say if we do end up on Thanksgiving, they probably will allow us to be home on the 26th.
Could be.
Which would
so
be good for us.
So you're not making them.
If they had a heart.
Well, they're not considering us, but I think it would be helpful for the players and the team.
Yeah.
I doubt we'll be traveling both holiday. That will
be interesting to look at road Thanksgiving teams to see in holiday year, in Christmas years when. It fell on Sunday or Saturday, whether or not they were able to be at home.
There was a year not too long ago where the Lions played on Thanksgiving Day and on Christmas Day in the same season.
Well, they might not have had a choice. I mean, if Sunday falls on a Christmas, you got to play.
No, it wasn't.
That's
what I'm saying.
It was an off day.
They had a special Christmas game,
and the Lions played on both.
Because they haven't done that very often. They did it this year, but they don't have too many Christmas games that
and it wasn't that long ago.
Yeah. Mm.
So there's a possibility.
Let's see. Let's see. We've got a lot of emails here. A
lot of emails.
This is from...
Any of them ripping you for anything?
Oh, God. Somebody wrote... I can't read all that. It's just too long.
Well, can you just kind of give us
summarize it?
James Edwards from Roanoke Rapids says, if the Jets go on to defeat the Colts this weekend, then the Colts have only themselves to blame. If the Colts and the Bengals had not laid down and allowed the Jets the two wins they needed to get into the playoffs, they would not have to deal with losing them when it really counts. Also, I am pulling for the Vikings to make it to the Super Bowl and win it. Why, you may ask? Well, if Brett Favre can win another Super Bowl, then maybe he will finally retire for good.
Brett Favre.
That way, the questions about his possible return would not be dominating the NFL news the whole offseason. I am so sick of hearing it every year, and this year it could be a sure way to put an end to it.
Who's this?
I don't think it's a sure way.
I think if he wins a Super Bowl, it's 100% he's done. 100%.
I don't know with that guy.
I agree. I think if he wins it, the way he's talked in these playoffs, I think if they win it, I think he'd be done. If they don't, I think it's 50-50.
And I think if he lays an egg, he's done. I think the worst case scenario is he's in a competitive Super Bowl where he has a good game and they just come up a little short. I think you'll see him again next year.
Look, you know, I'm as much a Favre basher as anyone, but
not
if
as much
this
as
is
Eric.
The season that he ends it all in, he ended on a high note. You know,
he's not going to take himself out back.
Well, I don't mean that as far as his career, but I think he, regardless of what happens from here on in, he ended on a high note.
What do you guys think of James's first point about the letting the Jets in thing?
Well, I don't really, I don't want to mock him, but if the Vikings lose on Sunday, they have no one else to blame but the Vikings.
Yeah. Well, and the other
if
thing
you lose,
is,
you blame yourself. You screwed up. You didn't do enough.
Teams would never do this, okay? But if you gave truth serum to teams, you know, like the Patriots in 05 when they sort of were able to handpick their opponent with that wild card game, if you recall. If you pulled any Colt player and they said, okay, we can host the AFC Championship game, we can host Cincinnati, we can host the Patriots, we can host Baltimore, we could host San Diego, Pittsburgh, this is the team they would pick.
Right.
So
right.
If they lose, they're going to. It's not going to have anything to do with, well, they let them in, they have only themselves to blame.
No.
That would put an interesting twist to
the
story.
It would just be ironic.
Yeah.
That's all.
The story would be have a little twist there. Right. But I got to think that if you ask any Colt player, maybe Cincinnati is the only one that they would like to see rather than the Jets.
More, right.
Yeah. More than the Jets. Yeah. But, you know, all those other teams, Pittsburgh didn't even make the playoffs. I would rather play the Jets than Pittsburgh.
Yeah. You're right. I mean, the Jets, what they've done is remarkable, but
at some point they're going to fall behind
right.
by two scores.
And this could be like the 85 Patriots where all throughout Will McDonough would get on NBC and every week say the Patriots are going to lose this week and they just kept winning.
And I'll give you another one.
It could be that way for the Jets this year.
Our boy, Teddy Bruschi, said the Jets will win the Super Bowl.
Well, he's
oh, we went that far? They will win
the Super Bowl.
If they do.
They're the 0-1 Patriots.
And that's what he said.
Pound and ground.
If they do that, this is this will be a bigger defensive win than the Bucs or the Ravens when they won their Super Bowls.
I don't think so.
It won't be a bigger one than the Ravens. The Ravens had no offense at all. The Jets are running the ball very well.
The Ravens could run the ball that year.
They had Jamal Lewis, but they didn't move the ball like the Jets have.
I think Trent Dilfer, because he was a veteran, was more. I'd be more confident with him than Sanchez.
Than with a rookie.
The Jets led the NFL in rushing.
Yeah, the Jets
led the NFL in rushing.
That's true, but I just think this is a test.
It would be similar. You're right. It would be similar. I don't think it's quite as
I think it's more remarkable that it would be a rookie quarterback who would win it.
Yeah.
Well, with three road wins and then a Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Right. Let's see. Salim writes in.
He'll be up at Ben Roethlisberger. I was just looking for Eric's. The 25th they played in 1999. They played the Broncos at home, the Lions did, after, I'm assuming.
Yeah, but we played Christmas
Chicago.
Games that year. That was a weekend. That was a Christmas weekend. Because I remember we played.
I'm just looking by the dates.
99. That was my first year. We played on Christmas weekend, I believe.
So you're saying
Christmas
Eric was
Day
wrong?
Though? Christmas Day.
I'm just saying it was a Saturday or a Sunday. It was either a Saturday or a Sunday. I don't remember. You're right. I don't remember.
Let's see. Salim says I have a few scenarios.
Maybe,
it was,
maybe we played on Christmas Eve.
They also played.
Maybe we played on Christmas.
What did he say it was? 99.
Yeah.
99.
You might be right, Eric. We might have played on Christmas Eve. I just remember it being a disruptive
day after Christmas.
We played on the 26th.
Yeah.
And where was and
that was it was a home game.
Who do we played Baltimore?
Buffalo. OT. 13-10.
Salim says, I have a few scenarios involving the possibility of trading Brady. I just want a yes or no answer, please.
No.
Brady for Adrian Peterson.
No.
No.
No. Brady for Matthew Stafford and Calvin Johnson.
No.
No. I like Calvin Johnson, but
Paul has to hesitate here.
This is just
Paul's been trying to run.
We're not worried
about
salaries or any of that stuff.
Right.
I'd have to give that one some thought.
I would too.
I would say maybe yes for Adrian Peterson too.
Yeah. I wouldn't.
I wouldn't do it for any running back.
I'd say no to both.
Brady for Darrell Revis.
No.
No.
Brady for Alex Smith and
no.
Frank Gore.
No.
No.
No. No. Yes, I do know that these probably won't go through with the other teams. It's all in fun. One last thing.
That is fun.
Yeah.
Unlike the stuffed shirt over there. Who doesn't want to play?
I played. It was a yes or no game. That's the only way you can play is by saying no.
No.
Clearly, Stafford and Johnson is the best option, but no.
Would Bill consider trading Matt Light? I've heard rumors of it, but I wanted your take.
Yes.
I think he's going to
release
him. I think
we consider it.
Well, I think somebody
going to be released, if someone wants to trade for him,
I think
absolutely
I think anyone's on the table, and I think Bill has said that.
Mm-hmm.
He said it in an interview to Albert Breer, I think it was at the beginning of the season, that I listen to everything.
Yeah, why wouldn't you?
Yeah. I want my GM to turn over every
stone. My problem
with
the Stafford thing is I just don't know enough yet. I haven't if I had watched him closely all year and I could make a better determination, I don't know. I saw flashes of some success from him, but I also saw him on Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
Looked like a scared little kid.
Right.
So I don't know how much of that.
What pick do they have?
Who?
Second or third? Johnson and the one for Brady, so I can take Bradford and have Bradford and Johnson.
See, I like Stafford more than Bradford, but you don't.
I think Stafford stinks.
I like Calvin Johnson.
Oh, I like Calvin Johnson. He's kind of the
Calvin Johnson
the consistent here.
Yeah, Calvin Johnson is a stud. We all agree.
But he's useless if he doesn't have a quarterback.
Yeah.
Kevin is from Swansea, Mass., but he's in the U.K. He says, to the PFW crew, he's not happy here.
Oh, okay.
He says, let me make it clear. I'm an ardent fan of American football in general, the Patriots since 1983 in particular, and your show, Accents Withstanding. However, my love-hate relationship with all things American surfaced again during Tuesday's edition of your program. He spells program with two M's, the English way.
Is he from Swansea? Or
there is a Swansea in the UK.
Oh, maybe that's
it. Can we get to the criticism part?
Acknowledging Mr. Rook, here are my Tuesday nitpicks. One, running up the score. In an aberrant and uniquely American quirk, I and the rest of the world are with Fred on this. The game lasts for 60 minutes, not until anyone deems it should. People pay hard-earned money to watch 60 minutes, not until anyone decides they may be able to. If you factor in the Wall Street Journal study, people like Mr. Perillo believe the meager 11 minutes of meaningful play be even further reduced once a particular lead is attained. Whilst strength of victory continues to rank a crazy fifth instead of the first method of tie-breaking, as in every other league-based sport I know of, then the stupid and childish slur of running up the score will be heard coming from the mouths of sporting social workers.
Learn what strength of victory means.
Right.
Then give us an email back and participate in the show.
Carry on. Although he is right that in other sports, strength of victory does have to do with points. It doesn't in the NFL.
Strength of victory determines the level of team that you've defeated.
Right.
How good they are.
How good they
are. Not by how many points you've beaten them.
Right. And that's their winning percentage, not points scored or offense or defense or anything like that. But I understand what you're saying about the running up the score.
He doesn't understand the rules. So that would make sense that you're on his side.
Soccer / boring, always boring. Football, original proper football, is the most popular team sport in the world.
Right, because they don't have any other sports to root for.
As a respected,
they can't run the score up, or when they try, it's 2-0.
As a respected broadcaster and journalist.
No.
Okay, let's let him have his say, and then you can.
We are. We're just going to talk over it while you go.
I got into the end.
You did.
As a respected broadcaster and journalist, Mr. Hart should be stating.
Well, clearly, don't know what you're talking about.
By whom?
Again, no one respects me.
Well, you did appear on the BBC.
That is true.
Why do you have to?
I have been on
the BBC.
This guy surely doesn't know the rules. First of all, he's not respected. He's not a broadcaster, and he's not a journalist.
I'm an analyst.
Got him.
Anyway, he says, Mr. Hart should be stating he finds football boring, not declaring it as so.
No, I love football. I hate soccer.
So in other words, you think it's boring, but you shouldn't say that it is boring.
But he's allowed to say that you should be able to play 60 minutes.
Right.
That's okay for him to just blanket statement.
Well, that's what he did
say. That is the way it is.
Well, and, I did say soccer sucks.
And he and the rest of the world think like that.
Okay.
Because he thinks like that.
Moving on.
Okay. I just wanted to point out the contradiction.
Moving on.
Okay. To label a worldwide sport with the slang soccer just to avoid confusion with an easily confused and frighteningly insular population with its own code of football has rankled me for years. We have association football, rugby football, Gaelic football, American football, Aussie rules football. Why not join in? We won't bite. Indeed, to label true football with the disgusting tag soccer, rather than qualifying its own version where foot and ball rarely meet, ask the Wall Street Journal exactly how often, is xenophobic in the extreme. I still dig you and will continue listening.
Even after that, don't do us any favors.
So from Kevin from Swansea in the UK.
Oh, okay. You confused me there.
There's a Swansea in the UK.
Because I was really going to hate him if he was American America.
Yeah, I figured he was actually from.
Because then I would have really.
But I can understand
fun right now.
People out of this country being annoyed when we, you know, refuse to call their brand of football football and have to give it another name.
Well, it is. I mean, on its face, it is kind of bizarre that our sport is called football when it's rarely the case. Like
okay, so here's a user participation. If you had to change the name of American football, what would you change it to? We'll throw it
that's
out
the
there.
Best. That's the best we can come up with for user participation.
Well, I don't know. I haven't heard anything from anyone else. But, you know, other than the normal emails, if you have a suggestion for a new name for American football.
I liked the hypothetical, what would you do in the contraction draft? Who would you take from Buffalo and Jacksonville?
Or we can always fall back on, who's the hottest woman in the world?
Yeah.
Chris from L.A. So give us your new name for American football.
The best sport ever? Does that work? The world's game?
Fred's getting upset.
How about Team War?
How about what?
Team War.
No.
All right. Anyway,
I
can't listen live, but I hope Fred will ignore his rule because I have a couple of questions regarding safeties.
What's his rule? What's
my rule is I tend to read live emails before.
Emails sent during the show.
Oh, okay.
Not before or after.
Proceed.
I started listening before the 07 NFL draft, and I remember the hype surrounding the first-round safeties that year, Laron Landry, Reggie Nelson, Michael Griffin, and Brandon Merriweather. I don't watch enough of the Redskins, Jaguars, or Titans, so I was wondering, how does Merriweather stack up against those guys?
Against those guys?
Yeah. Landry has been a terrible disappointment.
Probably not that bad against those guys. Michael Griffin has been good.
Griffin has been a Pro Bowl. He's a Pro Bowl caliber safety. When they all went last year, where they have three or four.
A legitimate Pro Bowl caliber
Bowl for. He's a good player. I think he's been a disappointment. Who's the other one?
Reggie Nelson.
Reggie Nelson's
disappointment.
Terrible.
So Merriweather's definitely better than Nelson and is in line with the disappointments of Griffin, who's good
great. I don't think he's anywhere near the level
Landry
of those
sucks.
Other two guys.
Landry is as big a disappointment because he was the seventh pick.
It's a top 10 pick.
Top
10. Anyway.
And was supposed to be this great Ed Reed game changing, and he stinks.
No.
See, he gets caught out of place better
coverage,
than Merriweather.
And he gets run the bleep over in the running game.
Landry.
Well,
I think Landry and Griffin are both way better
But he
than
should
Merriweather.
Be. I mean, he was taken seventh.
But I think I agree
the
with
scale
everything
is
everything
higher.
That Andy said about Landry, I would agree with.
Which is why if you go upstairs on the PFW big board, it says safety busts as a story idea for our draft preview because we think a lot of the high safeties suck.
Right.
That's been a little bit of a trend where safeties all of a sudden are becoming more and more high profile in the draft.
The Huff, the Whitners.
It really hasn't worked out. So that's something we want to look at.
Fred wasn't listening. There were boobs on the TV for a hydroxy cut commercial.
You know, that's the thing. If there was
he just
something
looks
good
by
to look at, there's these same infomercials that are on every single show.
And not really remarkable breasts. I mean, average run-of-the-mill breasts.
It's the winter. I'll take anybody in a bikini. Number two, or number
Hillary
three.
Rodham Clinton in a bikini? Would you take her?
Oh, no, number two. Do you think Merriweather has peaked as a player, or can we expect him to continue to improve?
I don't think he's peaked as a player, but he might be what he is.
Yeah. I think if he has, let's just say they get a really good free agent, you'll see him be better next year because he's surrounded
he'll look
by
better.
Some right.
Maybe. He won't be he better. He might have more interceptions. He might those kind of things.
I think he's knocking on the door of next September being who he is. I'll give him a little more time, but
to fix that tackling problem, which is
plus just being out of place, plus being immature, all of it. I think he's within a whisper of being he is who he is. Lawrence Maroney, he is who he is.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I can't argue with that.
Three, when you talk about young guys on the defense stepping up and becoming playmakers, I noticed that Pat Chung is never included with the likes of Mayo, Butler, and Merriweather. What is Pat Chung's ceiling as a player? Are you happy with his rookie season, or do you think he's a bust?
Incomplete. It's too, he didn't really do much.
Yeah, he hasn't done enough.
So I certainly am not going to rip him.
Yeah.
Defensively, he didn't get a whole lot of playing. I mean, I don't think he played as many defensive snaps as like Myron.
He had a very
did.
Slow start in
oh,
the
no.
preseason.
I don't think, no, definitely not as much as Pryor. Yeah.
I thought he looked terrible, terrible as a safety.
Well, I was trying
in
to be nice,
preseason.
Yeah.
But that happens.
Nice. But he's
Merriweather couldn't see the field as a rookie.
Yeah, that's a great point. Merriweather didn't play at all as a rookie. Now, that was a much more veteran-laden team.
No,
there were more opportunities to do so for Chung, but to label him a bust is, I think, ridiculous.
Now, Paul hates
sure.
Thank guys.
I don't particularly
care. He'll get you on Thursday.
Thanks, guys. I always love the show.
I'll talk to him on Thursday.
Your arguments in the last few weeks have made it even better. And by the way, Fred,
it usually doesn't go that way.
That's not what I thought was coming at the end of that sentence.
By the way, Fred, it's crazy to think Seymour wouldn't have helped against Baltimore. No, he would have. He would have helped Welker out, you know, for the coin toss and
coin toss.
Yeah,
would have helped Welker out.
USA Today is putting out their all-decade teams and the defensive line. Richard Seymour is the defensive tackle.
Great.
Third most votes. Jason Taylor and
you can't go by the USA Today.
Michael Strahan.
The USA Today doesn't know what it's talking about.
Well, it's not even the USA Today. It's a panel. Of
oh, the panel doesn't know what it's talking about.
A million voters.
I misspoke.
Bill Belichick actually leads the panel.
Hey,
Bill Belichick, what have you done for me lately?
That's true.
What did he catch, four touchdowns?
What have you done for me
lately? How's Welker going to help us?
He would have helped Welker on the coin cost.
We should praise Welker and Stallworth. Dante Stallworth tweeted that in a certain day, all the new listeners he'd got on Twitter, followers, he would pledge $1 towards Haiti.
Right.
Welker joined in and matched it, and they raised $70,000 or something quickly.
First down stuff, Eric.
That's so great.
I thought it was also interesting.
Two pages.
The Stallworth.
Yeah, that's why it's in there.
You might think Stallworth was kind of toxic and you wouldn't want to be associated with him, and Welker was very willing to join up with his former teammate.
I think that's the one thing that, you know, I think Dante Stallworth is clearly a decent guy who did a bad thing.
Oh, yeah.
He's not one of these guys it was bound to happen to him, you know.
No, we
Plaxico Burress got caught with a gun in a
here.
Club that went off. Well, you know, not really surprised by that. I think Stallworth.
We all liked him when he was here.
No, we loved him from dealing with him. But I think clearly the guy that we saw every day is probably pretty close to the guy.
Yeah.
You know, that's not always the case.
No.
I think this was a pretty good guy who did a bad thing.
All right, 508-543-7482 is the phone number. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, Tyrone really is on the phone.
Just found out American Airlines flies to more than 250 cities in 40 countries. That's a lot of flying. So basically, that's 250 different things that I can put on my out-of-office auto reply. Why, I could say, island hopping in Hawaii, returning Friday. This is going to be fun. Better yet, swimming with whale sharks in Cancun back on... Wait, that sounds dangerous. Oh, I know. How about samba dancing in Rio back on Monday? Wish you were here. Well, not really. But with flights to over 250 cities in 40 countries, it's easy to get wherever I want to go on American. Even if it just happens to be sales meeting in Des Moines back tomorrow.
What will you put on your out-of-office reply? 250 cities, 40 countries, unlimited possibilities. We know why you fly. We're American Airlines.
Hey, don't go yet, sir.
But the light turned green.
Well, you don't go till I say so. You play by my rules. My rules. Ball start, loss of 5 yards, still first down.
What are you talking about?
Unsportsmanlike conduct, 10 yards.
Unsportsmanlike is 15 yards.
Move the chains!
You are a crossing guard.
Personal foul, 15 yards.
And stop blowing that whistle.
Think football? Bank football. Get Patriots banking only from Bank of America. Get the Patriots logo on your checks, debit card, and your Patriots Extra Points credit card. Use Extra Points rewards to get tickets or even stand on the sidelines during pregame warm-ups. Plus, you get a bonus match on your Keep the Change savings. To get Patriots banking, go to a banking center or bankofamerica.com/patriots.
Delay of game, 5 yards, first down.
But you're not...
Keep the Change patent pending. Credit card programs are issued and administered by FIA Card Services N.A. Bank of America N.A. Member FDIC. Copyright 2009. Bank of America Corporation.
All right. Welcome. We're here. It is Saturday, April 26th, and finally, draft day is here. And this, of course, is PFW in Progress's draft extravaganza.
Now, Andy Hart breaks down the NFL draft.
Yep. Mendenhall.
One.
Mendenhall.
Two. Two.
Mendenhall.
Three.
Right. Mendenhall.
Four.
Rashard Mendenhall available.
Five.
I'm going Rashard Mendenhall.
Ten.
Rashard Mendenhall.
17.
Arizona could get Mendenhall.
18.
Rashard Mendenhall.
23.
Pittsburgh, Mendenhall.
27.
Mendenhall, and I can root for the Steelers with Roethlisberger and Mendenhall.
29.
Lima Swede to Pittsburgh.
Pittsburgh Steelers select Rashard Mendenhall.
Sorry, but the Patriots became the second best team in the AFC right then. Mendenhall is ridiculous here.
Yeah, Eric, and you're supposed to be the gay one.
Who's on the clock?
By the way, I lost interest once Mendenhall got drafted.
All right, welcome back to PFW in Progress. 508-543-7482 is the phone number. Web radio at patriots.com is the email address. We'll be here until 2. On the phone right now, Tyrone from Delaware. Hey, Tyrone, what's going on?
Hey, what's going on, fellas?
Hey, Tyrone.
Yeah, I'm sorry about the last time, man. I had to go back to work. My boss was looking at me, so I had to go back.
Tell him that Fred said it's okay if you're on the phone. It's like, who the hell is Fred?
Well, you know what, man? I ain't chiming in yet since the Baltimore debacle. But, man, the Baltimore fans down there was clowning on us, man. I had a miserable 2 weeks.
Yeah, you're right in the heat there.
Yeah, man, it was horrible. But, man, the thing about it is, with that game, I'm not going to talk too long about the game because it's done and over with. But we just wasn't talented enough. I think that's just what it is. That's all what it boiled down to on the field. And, that's just what it was. I think nothing else. I think you guys, I was hearing you guys when I got home. I think some of you guys were saying that they didn't play with heart. And I saw Kevin Falk was on the sideline. He was trying to, but I don't think it was just heart. I guess they just felt that, you know, without Welker, I don't know. They feel it was good enough, and that's what happened. So,
yeah, I agree with you.
You said they may not have been talented enough. I think they just weren't tough enough that day.
Well, it could so, but let me.
But they didn't have the talent either. I mean, maybe not that day, exactly. That specific day, but I don't think they were as talented as the other teams.
No, not and they showed. They especially showed that Sunday. But one other thing, I think the play of the game was not the long run. The play of the game is that strip sack fumble. When I saw Matt like got beat from Terrell Suggs, I'm saying to myself, well, why Vollmer wasn't playing on that side since he played so well against Freeney? Why Vollmer wasn't on that side against the best pass rusher since he's a little quick and strong and got longer arms? Why didn't he play that side, don't you think?
Well, but, you know, Bill has said you can't move Light from the left because he doesn't play well. You know, on the right side. So we had to keep Light there.
Right.
And if the, you know.
But to be honest with you, you know, like I said, I've been saying it all before. You know, people's calling them silly new receivers. I think, you know, if Donald Jenkins and Brandon Tate healthy, Moss, he got about 2 years left, probably get another young guy. It's not the thing. I think it's the offensive line. We need better protection on Brady, especially since Brady's not a mobile quarterback that could, you know what I'm saying, he need to set his feet, especially to throw a deep ball. We need some better people on the offensive line to at least run the ball and stuff like that, because that's where, to me, where you always lose the game at, especially in the Super Bowl. We lost it. I think we lost it there. And I thought Belichick would have beef up, you know, the line.
Well,
but he didn't. So.
But Tyrone, the three of the four Patriots running backs averaged – four of the five Patriot running backs averaged more than 4 yards a carry this year. Maroney was the only one with 3.9.
I know, but a lot of that's deceiving because they a lot of times they run in pass situations.
I realize that, Fred.
I agree with you, Fred.
But they also gave up 18 sacks, which is the lowest they've ever given up.
Right. They had that stretch
as an organization.
Yeah. Yep.
So I agree with you that the line could use some upgrades in some spots, and Vollmer taking over at left is certainly one of them, I think. But it's not like they're a terrible offensive line.
They're not, but I think Neal's at the end of the line. I think he was playing hurt.
Right.
There are some areas where they could use some improvement. But yeah. I mean, those are two out of five. That's
but
you know,
between
40%.
Between the two positions, yeah. I think wide receiver needs a lot more help than offensive
line.
Oh,
I think so too.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. Well,
you mentioned Darnell Jenkins. The guy's a practice squad guy who got hurt at the end of the year. We have no idea what this guy can do. None.
Well, Well, the only reason I was looking at that because I don't want them to go break the bank for, you know, a whacker, you know.
Why not?
But I don't think Belichick will go after Brandon Marshall.
It's an uncapped year this year. Why not?
Maybe not Brandon Marshall, but they need a wide receiver, not a practice squad guy.
They need
NFL caliber talent.
No, they need someone that can step in day one, have the smarts and the skill to work with Brady.
You know, I would be afraid of Brandon Marshall because of the problems, not because of the talent. You know, Anquan Boldin, I would take Anquan Boldin in a heartbeat.
I would take Anquan Boldin.
I'd go for Marshall. If the worst thing he does is kick a ball in practice.
That's not the worst thing he's done. He's gotten suspended by his team.
He's been in trouble for other things, Fred. I would take Boldin over him.
Who's going to have a better handle on him? Belichick with 37 years in the league or Josh McDaniels doing jigs on the sideline?
But he's been in constant trouble. Let me ask you this. Was Mike Shanahan like a wild coach who let the players run wild?
Yes.
Because he got arrested constantly when Mike Shanahan was his coach.
At the end of Shanahan's tenure there, he had to go.
But you really need to start getting back to the show. Come back to the show. We have room for you. Come back.
I got a little more time left, but I want to say
You have a little more time left?
Not too much on the offensive line. I was meant to be just probably another, a big, tough guy. That's all. A more athletic guy. Yeah. And that's how they say to redraft the whole line.
I'm going to do a lot of research on offensive line this offseason.
Have you got that list for Andy yet, by the way?
Yeah.
Well, I'd like to know, do you want to be a big, tough offensive line or do you want to stay a small, athletic offensive line?
Right.
That's a whole philosophical change.
It's one or the other. I think the only guy who's big, two guys are big and kind of tough. One guy I think is going to retire in Stephen Neal, and the other guy, who knows where he's going to be in a year, 2 years, in Logan Mankins. Copen is undersized, and I don't think he's overly smash-mouth.
I thought you were going with Vollmer.
I think he's big and athletic, but I don't think he's a road grader. If he becomes first of all, maybe I'm holding against him. He's European, and I tend to think they're a little... Dirk Nowitzki, they're not as powerful.
Yeah, but he's German.
I know, but you are familiar.
So I'm not familiar with your terms there.
Europeans are soft. I'm going to say it.
I was waiting for him to say it.
And
that's
I just wonder,
Hart.
Some people, we've already gotten asked PFWs, we need a guard, a
Half
killer instinct.
I know. So much for another BBC appearance, right?
But do you want to be big and powerful?
Terrible.
That was good. Half our listeners.
That's true. Tyrone?
All right, Tyrone.
All right,
Tyrone,
guess you didn't have
call.
Much time left.
Not as much
boss,
as you thought.
Boss gave him the evil eye again.
He must have just got caught.
Stinky eye.
Let's see. I'm gonna look at these offensive linemen that are available.
You say it every year. You're gonna watch tape and you watch no tape.
I watch a little tape.
Well, like the first guy, and then Jonathan calls and you press stop.
How you doing on that list for Andy?
You know what's funny too?
Cap hell in the works.
Okay.
I thought Vollmer was terrific as a rookie and everything, but I do think it's funny how, Matt Light got beat wide, in a key spot. That's gonna when that happens to Vollmer, the first couple of times it would be ignored, but then when it happens more frequently, which it will. I mean, let's face it.
In a big
Jonathan
spot.
Ogden got beat wide in big spots at times. I mean, it happens to everybody.
How about what Sebastian Vollmer did with Styles G. White? He bitch slapped him.
He
bitch slapped him left and right. And if that had happened in a playoff game, you'd be ripping him saying ready. Why isn't wasn't
and no
Matt
one
Light
noticed
there?
Because it was a 35-7 win against Tampa Bay. If that happens with Freeney, Vollmer's credit, he played very well against Freeney.
And I think he got better. I think he did the Edelman-like. He improved every time he stepped on the field. But let's not forget, Matt Light's played some very good games for this team against some very good pass rushers.
Yep. But that's my point. And I think that I thought a lot of what Vollmer did as a rookie. I thought that was a very impressive performance. I thought he was going to be more of a project. Bill said it. What he wasn't, emphatically said he wasn't a project when he drafted him, and he was right.
Fred told you that too.
Yeah, Fred was way ahead of the curve.
I think we were all pleasantly surprised.
Fred was way ahead of the curve on Vollmer.
I think we were all pleasantly surprised at Vollmer this year.
Cape Cod Scott writes in. He says, "Hi PFW effers." Thank you so much for doing your show year round. I can't listen live. My job gets in the way, but I've downloaded every podcast for years. They get me through the many times when sports radio is unlistenable, sort of like yesterday when I was glad to hear that Paul was going to be on. And then Ordway and McAdam got into a pissing match over politics the whole show, and Paul smartly stayed out of it for the most part.
Thanks,
Scott.
Boy,
I never thought McAdam would be such a left-wing lunatic like Fred.
They were arguing the Scott Brown election?
It was just ridiculous.
Wow, like Fred Kirsch? Is that was that?
Paul,
was?
Any comments on what was it like being there?
It was
that?
The least enjoyable show I've ever done on any station in any medium.
And you've done many.
And I have.
He does a lot of bad shows.
I said to you, I felt the show that I had to do by myself here was more enjoyable for right. you know to be a part of than. Right. Than that. It's just two guys yelling at each other on diametrically opposite sides. Now, I tended to be more on Glenn's side, but what good is that doing? You're just yelling at each other. Right.
On most shows.
Now, you said they weren't a lot of calls?
No.
Shouldn't they have realized we're not getting a lot of calls? People don't want to hear this? People don't want to talk about this?
They wanted to argue amongst themselves.
So, at 6:05, go get a beer and go argue. Don't make the world listen.
What do you want me to tell you?
You should have shut their mics off and just said, all right, we're going to talk sports here. Paul Perillo on the Big Show.
It was a very... unenjoyable show.
By the way,
and I took it off.
This is still Scott from the Cape.
As long as you got paid, right?
Here's a tip for all you podcast downloaders. One of my favorite parts of the podcast is the pick segment on Thursdays during the season. But I always save the last half hour of the week until Monday or Tuesday after the games are over. Then I listen to you guys make your picks, already knowing what the results are. It's hilarious.
Hilarity ensues.
I have a question, though. I keep track of your results each week, and many times your recap of results don't agree with mine. I had Fred winning the season. What? No, you didn't say that part. Do you sometimes adjust your picks after you go off the air? Just curious why my numbers don't agree with yours.
Because Paul cheats.
Paul cheats.
Because I'm a total idiot. I have no other explanation. There's
so maybe
times
I did win.
No. I don't think he's that big of a
mistake.
Finished about
30
games.
Well, maybe Eric didn't win. That's more likely.
Probably. Yeah, if I were to be cheating, the guy would have
exactly.
myself winning.
So, Scott, according to your numbers, who won?
And
let us know.
Do you want to do it next year? Scott is very interested in the picks, has a lot of fun with them. Why don't we have him be an unbiased?
Well, we could have Scott judge in the beginning of the picks, tell us what happened last week.
But can I also say that there are times, especially if we're just making fun of the Big Show appearances, I did the Big Show on Thursdays a lot this year, so I wasn't here for picks. So my picks get done off air, so that's one reason right there. There's been times, I think, that Eric didn't make his picks on Thursdays.
One week, he gave me the picks. Yeah.
So that can happen.
Right.
That can happen. I'll be the first guy. Forget about what happens in the paper when I'm doing it at 3 o'clock in the morning after a road trip.
Right.
I can't add. I am not.
Yeah,
not
but
the
if
smartest.
You got that wrong, Vilo would let you know.
That's true.
It was my understanding that we're doing picks today. No math.
I can, by no means, can I guarantee the accuracy of the picks.
We better hurry. We got two
games. I know, we do have to hurry.
What's the order of the games on Sunday?
AFC 3 o'clock, NFC 6 o'clock-ish.
All right. Paul in London, a couple questions. When is the next issue of your paper out? As I'd like to subscribe to the paper to upgrade my subscription so I have the paper to read as well.
Yes, it's a good idea.
February 9th is our next issue, right?
Yep.
Yeah, February 9th.
Yep.
And then we're monthly until
monthly
training
till
camp.
July.
1-800-494-PATS.
1-800-494-PATS or... go to pfwonline.com. You can sign up there. And if you're overseas and you don't want to wait for the paper, you can sign up for an online version only and pay less.
Discount.
Yes.
And see it immediately.
But get all the same great coverage.
Exactly.
So, again, 1-800-494-PATS. We don't give that number out enough.
We never give it. We give it out once every three months.
And pfwonline.com.
It's funny he knows that number off the top of his head, but always has to look at the number for this
show.
That
one pays the bills.
I made up that number. let's see.
Wait, you made up the PATS part. I'm sure the telephone company just gave
you
a list of PATSs.
No, I looked around to make sure I could get PATS.
Yeah, I know. My point is the telephone company told you which ones were available with PATS.
Right.
Because it would have been better if it was 111 PATS.
Oh, you can't get that.
No, I know.
So
that's
an option.
You didn't just get to pick
whatever
you
wanted.
I could
make that up, but I wouldn't be able to
get
it.
Not like 1776?
Right.
The directory?
The ticket office has that.
Yeah.
That still exists.
That's a good one.
Yeah.
I think so.
543-1776.
Okay.
So,
God,
it's 384, I think, 1776.
I don't know. Ooh, main switchboard might be 543.
What's that?
The main switchboard might be
What's
that?
He
suddenly became 70 years old.
Two says, Paul, should we draft that guard named Vladimir Ducasse?
I don't know anything about him.
Spelled D-U-C-A-S-S-E.
From UMass?
That's the UMass guy, isn't it?
That's the Haitian kid that Eric's going to write a feature on. He lived his first 14 years of life in Haiti.
Wow.
Now is a star guard at UMass.
Wow.
And is considered one of the top four guards in the draft, something like that. So it's relatively high pick.
He says he's a decent player, but having Vladimir and Seabass together would sound like a beast offensive line. Plus the name Vladimir makes me think of the Russian dude in Rocky IV.
I agree, but he's Haitian.
Wasn't his name Ivan?
Yeah.
Ivan Drago.
Maybe it was Ivan Vladimir. No?
That was Drago.
Oh, yeah. Ivan Drago. Ivan Drago.
I must break you.
Vladimir is the Impaler, right?
Right.
The original Dracula.
Vlad the Impaler. That's right. Good history, Fred.
Yeah. Let's hope.
Good.
And number three.
It's history.
History, Fred.
Let's hope an asteroid lands on Lucas Oil Stadium. That way everyone's a winner from that game.
Come on now.
I like it.
That ain't right.
Fred, I like it. We can do that. Oh, my God. I just got a ton of emails that came in.
All at once?
Yep.
Why?
I don't know.
Because you don't check them all the time. That's why when I go upstairs and there's 35 in my inbox, and you say, not a lot of emails today.
What's wrong with you?
Let's see. Preston from Jackson says, Europeans are not pussies. If you may recall, they win the world's strongest man competition every time.
That's
it's held.
True.
USA never stands a chance.
Magnus
People from
or
Germany
Magnuson.
And all the other little Eastern Euro countries, correct?
I'll take all those von Magnussens like Garrett's talking about.
Plus, they've been doing steroids a lot longer than we have.
That's right. especially
the East Germans.
Right. But
some of their women aren't women.
Right. So that's a good point, Preston. I thought you were done
overgrown.
After we started talking draft, but apparently you're back.
we stopped talking about the draft. He came back. We started talking about the soft Europeans.
Anthony in London. I'm unable to listen live, so apologies if this is off topic. You and other media have mentioned that we could use help at running back, and I was just wondering, given the uncertainty surrounding LaDainian Tomlinson's future in San Diego, would we be interested in perhaps acquiring him? I believe to buy him out of the contract would cost about $1 million. I might have that wrong, though. And giving him a one-year contract for perhaps $3 to $5 million during the uncapped season. And then, depending on the productivity we get out of him, look to then giving him a semi-long deal, 2 or 3 years, to see him out until he retires.
No, the semi-long.
No.
I would take him on a one-year deal to replace Sammy Morris as a committee
but
guy.
But he's a committee. Exactly.
But he doesn't
solve
your problems at running back in any way.
I wouldn't even be interested in that. I understand Andy's and Eric's point. I don't think that he's that kind of a guy,
a complimentary
kind of a guy, and I just think he's done. I think they need to get younger, and Andy's talked about this, that dynamic home run hitting kind of guy.
We need what LT used to be.
Explode.
And you don't have to have that guy. You don't have to, you don't have to pick that guy with the fourth overall
pick. When there's
a
hole, I need him to explode into it.
You can get explosive guys like Ray Rice.
Eric wants to know which hole you're talking about.
What? Oh, no. You know what I mean. The offensive line opens up a hole, and he explodes into the hole.
Sure. Whereas Maroney explodes before he gets to the hole.
I think LaDainian Tomlinson.
It's premature.
I think LaDainian Tomlinson was great. Don't get me wrong. I think he was great. I just don't think he's great anymore.
That's what the Patriots need, though, is what LT used to be.
What do you know about the kid from Buffalo who missed last year with an injury but was really good the year before? James Starks.
I know nothing about Buffalo. The Mac.
Big, productive, versatile, catches the ball, runs the ball. Sounds like he could be a steal, a Belichick-type steal where the guy's better than...
Third-round pick, you're saying?
Yeah, he might be higher than that, though. Because, I mean, Spiller's the guy, but he's not going to be...
Spiller's going to be probably a first-round pick. So.
Oh, definitely he'll be a first-round pick. He may be a 14-type
But that's the kind
pick.
Of guy that I'm talking about, is a guy that you don't have to give him 30 carries.
You can't, probably.
But in 15, he might get you an 80-yard run in there somewhere. That's the kind of guy.
Paul likes 80-yard runs, and I'm kind of with him.
I like big.
What's not to like?
I like
We've
big
seen
play
two of them
potential.
In the playoffs.
I like running backs with big play potential. I don't think they had that this year.
Well,
at all.
Guy that's supposed to have it doesn't even have that anymore.
I thought Fred Taylor was going to be a guy that in 10, 12 carries maybe could have done it. Now, we'll never know if he could have because he got hurt. But certainly I wouldn't be confident going forward with him.
Yeah.
Based on what we saw this year.
And same with LT. I don't feel confident in him long-term either.
LT has lost the burst.
Yeah,
he's
not a big play guy, but I would take him as just a guy.
He can score you touchdowns.
Yeah, I think if you need four or five backs and he's your fourth or your fifth, you're very happy with it.
He can score you touchdowns. He could solve a lot of your red zone problems.
He can be a backup to Kevin Falk. He can do a lot of things.
Were you saying you don't think he's that type of back because he can't do it or because he wouldn't want to be in that role?
I think both from a physical point of view, I don't think he's that good anymore. And from his mentally, and this is just an opinion because I don't know him, I don't think he'd accept a complimentary role. I think he was bitching this year because Darren Sproles was a bigger part of the offense than he had been.
But you know how that can be. Sometimes you bitch where you are. When you go somewhere else, it feels different.
Yeah. Good point.
You have a little chip on your shoulder. You'll take any job just to prove that you're better than they thought you were and all that. Although that awkward first, I mean, he was pretty critical of the Patriots in Spygate. There might be an awkward first meeting there between Belichick and Tomlinson.
Brian in Baltimore.
I was just kidding, Bill.
Yeah. Brian in Baltimore. Hey, slouches. I kind of like that Brady-Trey game.
See what he did
I
there.
Love Brady, but I think this is a good way to determine your value system when it comes to him. So here we go. Brady 4, Matt Leinart, and Larry Fitzgerald.
Nope.
No.
No.
I'll take Larry Fitzgerald.
Brady for Ben Roethlisberger and Rashard Mendenhall.
In a heartbeat. No. I would do that one.
Brady for Matt Schaub and Andre Johnson.
In a heartbeat.
I would do that one, too.
Yeah.
Right. Brady for Phillip Rivers and Antonio Gates.
Nope.
No, not anymore. Gates. Not anymore with Gates.
I would do that one.
You would?
Did you hear, speaking of...
I would trade Brady for
Speaking
Rivers.
Of Chargers, you heard about a couple nights before, a lot of them are out till the wee hours of the morning, partying.
Yeah. I didn't hear that.
Yeah.
Friday, in particular?
I did see the story about Vincent Jackson getting pulled over on his way to the game. Yeah, he had to get a ride with Phillip Rivers to get there.
Yeah. What
for playing loud music?
What players?
Like
any
I didn't
names?
Mention who exactly.
Well,
the players were.
The only name it mentioned said
it wasn't Rivers.
Right. As much as you'd like them
Nate
to be,
Keating?
They're not all Rivers.
It wasn't Nate Keating.
Well, it could have.
That would just be too funny.
Yeah.
And the final one, Aaron Rodgers and Michael Finley.
No.
I count me unimpressed with Aaron Rodgers. I know the numbers.
Yeah.
I think he's good. I don't think he's great. I wouldn't do that one. Michael Finley, I don't know him.
Brady and Belichick for Peyton Manning and Bill Polian.
Brady and Belichick for Peyton Manning and Bill Polian.
No, because I just don't like Polian that much.
No, I think you. I mean,
I have no problem with
I
Peyton.
I think with Manning, it's the same situation with Manning that you're talking about with Brady. You wouldn't be discussing this if it were 8 years ago.
Right.
Right.
You're looking for the next guy to take you to the next, the next 10 years. And Manning, you're looking for the next
guy.
He's
saying
too.
You do that, and
that's
then
why
you hire John Gruden, and then Fred poops his pants.
That's why I'm thinking about Phillip Rivers. Because I think that he's still in the young, right. That he could be the guy for
sure.
The next 10 years.
You want to get to the divisional round, Phillip Rivers is your guy.
Stop it. Stop it. You're embarrassing yourself.
I'm just saying. He's utterly consistent.
It's been 2 years since we've been to the divisional round, so
That's
I don't know.
That's a good
know
point,
about that.
Paul. That's a good point.
Eric in Fort Collins, Colorado, had Bill punted on 4th-and-2. And let's assume the Pats would have went on to win.
I was going to say, let's assume they fumbled the return.
Right. Then the Colts would have had to play to win against the Jets. Here's why. San Diego would have been within striking distance of catching and tying the Colts' record since they had 3 losses and the Colts would have had 1. With 2 games to go, the Colts wouldn't have had to win at least 1 to ensure a lock in the number 1 seed. I'm sure many more playoff scenarios all come back to 1 play out of 11 minutes worth of play.
That 11 minutes thing is really catching on with people, huh?
It's all over. It's been tweeted.
I've seen that a lot. That was a big thing about a month and a half ago.
Oh, really?
That study came. I think it was ESPN the magazine had the New York Times thing. It was some kind of poll with all the different sports, and since then I've seen it everywhere.
Well, you know, but you have to take into consideration in any of those scenarios Andy's butterfly effect.
Oh, and the Colts game?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
You never know what would have happened.
If the Colts had lost that game, they may have lost 3 others.
Right.
Wait, did they do the same study for baseball?
Yeah.
And how much is baseball?
I don't remember, but the ball's in play a lot more often in baseball.
Really?
Don't forget, every pitch counts as ball being in play.
Yeah, but for a second and a half
or
whatever?
Yeah, but it's not out of
so
play that often.
But 100 pitches would only be a minute and 40 seconds, whatever. Or however many,
roughly.
Yeah, but basically you're only dealing with between innings as the ball's not in play. I mean, for the most part.
Oh, I wouldn't. I would only count when it leaves
his
finger
when
and when
hit.
The catcher
catches
it.
Oh, I know, but there's a very short amount of time there that you're not pitching. You're talking about a half a minute between pitches, maybe? Yeah. Not even. It's more like 15 seconds.
I think there's a lot more time between
a lot more time
pitches
between
than there
pitches.
Is pitching.
Oh, this is counting everything. This is counting when the change of possessions in football. And all that stuff. You're talking about everything.
Wait, what?
Wait a minute. The 11 minutes is
only when the ball
whistle
is
to whistle.
Snapped. Yeah.
Right.
Just
snap
like in baseball, the ball's always
snapped to whistle.
Yeah.
Right.
It's only 11 minutes.
So when
right?
the pitcher's standing on the mound, you're shaking, they're
that's
counting
not
that?
The ball in play.
No. That would be the ball out of play. But how often is that?
A lot. A lot.
Yeah.
I think the time when the pitch leaves his finger to when it gets to the plate
is
very little.
It's
and you're talking about 300 pitches a game for a second.
I guess
it's all
relative,
minutes.
I guess, in how you look at it. I mean, to me, that's the opposite. I look at that totally in inverse the way you
when
guys
the pitch is in the air, it's not in play, but when he's holding it, it's in
no,
play?
No, I look at the amount of time
It takes
that,
a millisecond.
That the ball's not in play, to me, is much less than it's in play.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
I don't see
but
that
I guess
all.
It's all the way you look at it. You guys look at it the opposite. You guys look at him shaking off signs as being longer than
right.
than I do. I don't think that's very
you
much.
You think that's shorter than the time the pitch is in the air?
Collectively?
If it's not getting hit, you mean?
Yes. Either way.
Yeah.
If he hits it and by the time he gets to second base. I think that's...
Yeah,
those are short periods of time.
So you have to start.
It's a penalty if you take more than like 20 seconds.
Well, no, you
right,
take.
Right, but the guy has 100 times 20 seconds.
You take the from the time the pitcher's...
As opposed to 40 seconds between every play in football when there's nothing happening?
Wait, did you tell me they did it or not? Like, what
they did it.
And what did they use?
And baseball was the least amount of time.
No, I know that. But where is baseball? Because I got to think it's pretty close. I
yeah.
just don't think
well,
there's very much time.
Of course it's, yeah. I mean, hockey is constantly
right.
in play. So, yeah.
And the NBA
baseball
and basketball
is second.
The ball's always
oh, okay. And where is it? 20 minutes? 12 minutes?
Like,
14
like
minutes?
That. Something wow. like that.
Because I think, yeah, baseball's a lot of just as
yeah.
much down.
No, I'm not disputing the out-of-play, in-play thing with you guys. I just don't think the out-of-play thing is anywhere near as long as you guys do. Yeah. That's all.
It seems a lot more in baseball.
It depends on what you consider out-of-play.
No, no, no.
Well, that's
I,
what
I
we
can,
were just...
No, you really don't
You really
to
can't
us.
Come to these arguments late. Either listen or don't play.
I agree with Andy and Eric's definition of out-of-play in baseball. I just don't agree that it's as long as...
I knew there was a reason he hadn't chimed in, because he was just looking at us, but not listening.
Especially with him, because his pure,
it's baseball.
His
I thought for sure he would chime in.
All right.
All right.
Next,
here's a sport we should watch. Fred's sport of tennis.
I love tennis.
Go listen to big women... Grunt.
You almost got yourself in trouble there.
I did because I was looking at Venus Williams.
Let's see. Josh.
I mean, it's a fact and all, but it would have sounded bad had I said it.
Josh writes in, he won't, for your safety bus feature, you should bring up the future Hall of Famers, Eric. He won't bus guys. He's the best safety since Ed Reed. We should trade up to get him. He doesn't mention who it is.
Curry, I mean,
subject line?
Taylor Mays.
Barry?
What's the subject line?
Let's see. Hold on for
the
a second.
The kid from, is it Barry? Or what's the kid
for
from
your
Tennessee?
Safety, bus
Eric
feature.
Barry. Eric Barry.
Barry.
Eric Barry.
Yeah, everybody considers him one of the top five prospects in the draft, which is why I think the story will be good, because there's a guy that is being hyped up and will say, don't take him, it's a bust. You know, not specifically
or be cautious.
Him, but yeah.
yeah,
be cautious. Because for every Ed Reed who was drafted 27th, there's a bunch of guys who were drafted from 5
10.
To 12 who stink.
Dave says the new name for football should be hand egg. Discuss.
Hand egg?
Yeah. Instead of football, hand egg. I don't know.
It's not an egg.
Well, hand ball would be more appropriate because that's how you handle the ball.
How about a man sport as compared to
Chris
soccer?
With a TIN says it should be the LSL, the Learn Strength League.
At the pro level.
I read in parentheses.
Let's
Although
see.
They learn it at the college level, too.
Yeah.
Paul from London says he'd name it Eric Sucks.
I was wrong. This is a fun game.
Eric is just disgusted.
Yeah, when you
Why
read,
would you
when
change
you read emails
the name?
From psychopaths, I tend to get
I don't
disgusted.
Get
it's just an exercise.
Why?
Because, you know, it's not fair that we change the name of football to soccer in this country. So... Football is a more apt name for that game. So what would be more apt for football since the foot rarely meets the ball?
If you took soccer out, completely out of the equation, let's just say there was no such thing. And what a perfect world that would be.
It
What's
would
wrong
be great.
With the name football for the American game?
Because it's really not
Because it doesn't
football.
Really have
Why?
Much to do with the foot.
Because it's tackling and throwing and running.
Yeah.
You know?
Throwing, catching, passing.
Yeah, but,
yeah,
that,
but that's so
there are
minute
people who
amount
like to
of
get
it.
That out of the game. You know?
Who?
A lot of people, a lot of football
Nate Keating.
Fans. Yeah, Nate Keating.
Besides Charger fans who just lost the playoff game
right.
because of it. Who?
But you know what I mean. You know, the kicker on the team is looked down upon. Is not really a football player.
Tell me about it.
Yeah. Welcome to Eric's world.
Yeah. No, he didn't play.
I guess I'm really out of touch.
The ball touching.
I didn't
welcome
know,
to Eric's world.
I didn't know there was this big movement afoot that
no,
it's,
but,
a, it's a dumb name a foot, for
I'll
a
see foot. What you did there.
Uh-huh. Okay, Trebek.
He's a Will Smith.
But you know how kickers are looked down upon. They're
yes,
not really
but I didn't know it was
players.
Because it really isn't football that they were looked down upon.
Oh, yeah, they're not
I thought
looked
it was because they're not really
players. Whatever.
No, they're not really players because all they do is kick.
Right.
Why isn't it ring
okay,
ball instead
so
of basketball? There's
so
no basketball
So basically what you're telling me is this is a new phenomenon because in 1950, when regular players did all the kicking, they didn't think like this.
Right.
Okay.
Why is it called baseball? I mean, you really, it's a stick and a ball, and it's about hitting and catching and running. The base is a very little part of it.
Yeah, but there is bases in it.
And there's kicking in football.
Yeah.
But that's what I didn't get. That's...
What does hockey mean?
Thank God I have Andy. I have
why isn't it skating putt? It should be skating putt.
I think you understand what we mean. You're just being stubborn.
No, I really don't.
I understand in baseball, that football kicks ass
in
and
baseball, the base is a major part of it. You have to hit the, every
how
base
is,
in order
how
to score.
The foot? How is kicking not a major part of football?
How would they play if they didn't have feet?
They kick off every game to start the game. It's a kick.
You didn't have. You could throw it. It doesn't matter.
Why doesn't it matter? It's the rules.
When we played in the backyard, you could throw a kick. It was an option.
What an idiot.
It's true.
What an absolute.
You also have automatic quarterback, too.
Yeah, that's right.
And no blitzing until
used the shrub as the goal line.
The best play ever was when you used the little sob on the corner as a pick so you could get it down and out.
Jesus, you're an idiot.
The things we argue about.
I'm at a loss with this guy.
No, you guys
can't believe I'm losing to this guy.
But does it really bother Europeans that we call it soccer?
I think it might.
See, that I understand. It's
it their, might.
And I mean, I could understand that. It's a sport that we've changed the name. I don't understand what's wrong with football for the name of this sport, that America's version
no,
of football.
No, they just want – they don't care that football is called football, but they
evidently
want –
evidently, Eric and Fred
no,
do.
They want soccer to be called football. They think we – you know what I mean?
That I get.
And you can't call them both football, right. So if we get ours back, you got to change yours.
But if you call like it football,
like, it's kind of like WWE.
It. Yeah, it's like –
they lost it to the Wildlife Federation. Right. They had to change WWE.
It's
sucks.
It's like when they had the World League Football, if they changed the name of football – so that it wouldn't be, you know, we would be like, well, why are they changing the name of football? Why are they calling it, you know, whatever it is?
All of that I understand. Yeah. I understand why Europeans look down on us for changing the name of their sport.
And it's called American football. So that's the World League of American football.
Ergo, I'm just asking if we did change it, what would you change it to?
That was ergo.
That's all.
And I asked you if there was no such thing as soccer. If you would have a problem with
Dumas.
Football.
No,
and you
no,
say
it's
yes.
Dumbass.
Well, I don't get that.
Well, based on its origins, no, because obviously when it first started, it had rugby origins and it had, you know, and it had soccer origins. So I can see where it came from.
Football.
But if you were starting from where it is now, I don't think football would be the first name to come to mind.
I agree.
Yeah.
But
I don't
not.
Get it. I just don't get it.
As I honestly, said, Paul, there's no longer a basket in basketball. It's a ring. It's not a basket. There's no bottom to it.
No,
so you can't call it basketball.
It started with a basket.
I know, and football started with a foot. It has a kickoff.
But
that's how the game starts.
Saying, if the game was where it is right now, it had no history. You're starting it from where it is now. Would football be the name you'd give it?
Well, would basketball be the name you'd give that
right.
if it started today?
It'd be ring ball. Yeah, it'd be run and dunk ball.
Has a rim.
Job.
Doesn't have a peach basket.
The
like
rim
in
the
call rim job. I mean rim ball.
Eric, have you played much rim job in your life?
Have you just really?
He said basketball.
No, seriously, have you really just abandoned it?
I haven't played a lot of rim
nice
job.
Have you really?
Nice
have you really abandoned it?
I'm a very nice person.
Seriously.
No, I'm being serious. I'm a very nice person.
You're
except
not.
To you.
If you can't take a joke, then that's fine.
Anyway,
you stopped agreeing to the rules.
I didn't find
that. No, I continued to agree to the rules.
No,
I just haven't
we
played
stop doing an extra hour. This show goes too
I really
fast.
Do think we should go to 3 hours.
I have people other things to do.
People would kill themselves if they had to listen to us for another hour.
No, people love us.
Mike and Riley writes in, I have 5 simple yes or no questions.
Wait a minute.
What?
Is it Mike and Riley or is it Mike Riley?
No, it's Mike and Raleigh. Raleigh. I didn't take my fish eggs.
And you want us to do 3 hours?
Your fish eggs?
My omega-3.
Caviar?
That's what I call them. Omega-3 tablets. I call them fish eggs.
Now, how long have you been on this? And what do you have, another week before you give up on
it? No, no, no. I take them every day. I take 3,000 milligrams.
And what is it
like
doing
them.
For you?
It helps my cognitive...
It's not working.
So Hal Davis takes it, too.
Right now, that omega-3 is on line 2. They want to sue you.
Stop using.
Stop telling people that you use my product.
Mike and Raleigh, whoever that is. North Carolina, South Carolina, whatever.
North Carolina.
Yeah, it's in North Carolina, but that's okay.
He's distracted. He's watching TV while trying to talk.
5 simple yes or no questions. Will the Patriots win the division next year?
Paul?
I'm sorry, what was that question?
Will the Patriots win the division next year?
Right now, I'm saying no. We'll see what happens in the offseason.
I agree
are
with
you. Pansy.
Right now, I'm saying
I'm
no.
saying yes.
Wait, I have to make a pick based on
We're playing the game
nothing
right now.
Right
if
now,
the game
I said
were to
the
be
Jets
today. The game's being played
I'd
today.
I'd be picking the Jets to win the division
today. I'll take the
today.
Patriots.
I'll take.
Will Brady win another ring before he retires?
No.
No.
Well, there goes that 10-year thing. We won.
That's right.
Yeah. No, you didn't win because you were the 3 seed in the
we
AFC.
Won.
That was my point.
We won easily.
Won.
We won
no, you
easily.
Lost both ways because now you're not winning rings now and you didn't get a perfect season then.
No. Will the Patriots make the playoffs next year?
Yes.
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 Will Bill hire a defensive coordinator outside the organization?
No.
No.
And will the Jets win the Super Bowl this year?
No.
Okay, there you go. You wanted yes or no? You got them. Yes or no?
How come you didn't answer?
I let you guys do the work.
Will you be picking the Patriots to win the division?
Yes.
I couldn't even
Paul.
Get the question out.
It depends on what happens in the offseason.
Really?
Yes. Absolutely.
Conditions on the ground.
There is 0.0% chance that you, in August or September, pick another team to win the division.
All right. Now okay, right. I had to step up and do it.
Jets
based
win.
On right now.
Right now, Jets.
Really?
Yep.
I'm very surprised by that.
I respect their defense.
You have to.
That's as damning
as
Darrell Revis said the other day. Yep. You are not a happy Patriots fan right now, are you?
Based on what
Why
Baltimore did to the Patriots, I really, really am happy that the Jets weren't the team that came here because I think the result would have been the same.
I'm not running for the hills like some Patriots fans. I really think that they will do what they need to do this offseason to remain competitive.
Then you should be picking them to win.
I don't know what that's – we'll see what other teams do, too. I have to weigh it against other –
But you think they're going to do what they need to do to remain and be competitive.
I think they will.
And this year they won the division
I think
and they
will.
Were the 3 seed. And
right. I think they will.
So yeah,
I have
be
faith.
Them?
There's no reason for me not to have faith. They've done it every year.
Well, part of the reason that I am picking right now the Jets is because I think the Patriots not only finished, I think they're going to open next season weaker than they are right now because of the Welker situation, the Moss situation, which I seem to be the only one really concerned about that. And
his
just,
health, you mean?
I just don't think he's that good anymore. I think what we saw the last half of the season is what you're going to get.
So let's recap. Paul wants to trade Brady and cut Moss.
Well, the Welker problem to me
is a problem.
Is much bigger than just the loss of one guy. It's almost forcing you to keep Moss.
Right.
And I think that's a problem too.
Well, I think they would have kept Moss no matter what.
See, I don't. I think they were tired of having to cajole this guy every week to get him to perform.
It's possible. I think you're right, Paul.
And now they can't afford to let him both go.
Right. Oh, God, no.
Because you're going to lose Welker for at least half the season.
Unless they picked up, made a trade for a Bolden or somebody like
and
that.
And that's why I want to have it stated that I can change my mind if they go out and do that. Mm-hmm. If they go out and get a Bolden and then maybe draft, Jordan
Golden
Shipley
Tate.
In the second round. Golden Tate. And maybe get a pass. Or maybe
I don't really like Shipley.
I don't love him either. But I'm just saying, a guy that can come in and catch some passes for them, I might change my mind.
Well, if they had a Golden Tate and a Brandon Tate.
Yeah, maybe we find out Brandon Tate's injury is not as serious as we thought. He's fully ready for the summer and all the workouts. If he misses the whole spring, I write him off for 2010 as well.
I've already written him off for
if he tore his ACL again, never got that in report.
We don't know.
But if he tears his ACL, if he tore his ACL again, he'll miss the whole spring. And I think you write him off for 2010.
Yeah, I think
that's not.
Right.
I'm not saying that he's a bust. I'm saying
you have
for
to
injury related purposes.
Just quick update to anyone who's in front of a TV. Randy Moss at the other end of the age spectrum is currently on NFL Network. Some really old school Marshall highlights.
Yeah, it's a thing about the Vikings. I don't know exactly what it is, but they were talking to Dennis Green and
Chris
John
Carter.
Randall.
They just showed Moss running his 40 time on some outdoor field. Now they're showing the draft.
Is that Rand University?
Mad. Rand U.
Let's see. Sup, fellas, says Fat Pat. I heard this morning that Vince Young made the Pro Bowl.
Gave him a shout-out on the radio yesterday.
Vince Young? Really? How many more quarterbacks need to drop out of the game before Brian Hoyer gets in? I don't know about y'all.
Vince Young is in the Pro Bowl.
Well, who dropped out?
But I think I heard that Brady dropped
out. Yeah, but Shaw replaced him.
Took his place, yeah.
So who's Young replacing?
Does that mean Roethlisberger said no, too, then? Or did he already make it? It was Manning.
Manning, Rivers,
Manning, Rivers, Brady.
Manning, Rivers, Brady. So Roethlisberger must have said no?
Oh, maybe Schaub said no. But I thought Schaub was definitively replacing him.
They said the report yesterday said Schaub was replacing Brady.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, I don't know that they meant that he had already said, I'll definitely go. I think they
just was next in line. I don't know that he did that either.
Because it was like Moss was replacing Welker, but he never replaced
him. But I'm saying whoever is not going now, whether it's Schaub, Rivers, or Manning, whoever's not going among those three, they needed to call somebody else.
Right.
Roethlisberger had to be the next guy.
Hey,
or even if he's not the next guy, between the next guy and Young.
And Young.
Because I love Vince Young, but he played a half a year, and he rode Chris Johnson's coattails.
Wasn't that good in the half year that he
played? He had one great game.
Hey, before I forget, John in South Carolina was nice enough to buy lunch to me.
And,
John
is the best. Way, stepping up as a late huge. Pitch hitter as well. Huge. Very, very much
huge.
Appreciated. Thanks, John.
Anyway, finish Fat Pat's email. I don't know about y'all, but I think the Pro Bowl becomes a bigger joke every year. I think the league should just give the starters the honor, a gold star, and a cookie, and scrap the game completely. They could make the Hawaii Stadium a neutral international site and leave it at that.
This has struck a nerve because my wife was yelling at me this morning about the Pro Bowl. Why is it that everybody declines and opts out? It's a joke. Why even have the game? She went on a 5-minute rant about it.
I agree with her.
Maybe they should just get rid of the Pro Bowl.
I've never liked it. But again, thanks, John, for
it
the
doesn't,
lunch.
It doesn't.
Thanks,
work.
John.
You
just have,
have
the All Pro team and go from there.
You know, just have an All Pro team and go with it. I don't
how
know.
About
what
if you just
out.
Have an in Fred's? You know, he always likes to come up with these entertaining blah. How about you just have the Playboy All Pro team and just have a big party singing Playboy
how about
bunnies
some lingerie football.
I was being serious for a minute. Just like college, they bring the All America team,
like
the Playboy
idea.
To the mansion.
They
have a big party. What?
They have lingerie football. There's
I know
they
do. You just can't be serious on the show, Paul. You and I need to break off because these two. I mean, would you
can you imagine the statement that you just made?
Yeah.
You and I are the serious ones.
Sure. We are. We always want to analyze things and talk football.
The two freaking clowns. We just want to be serious for a second.
Tracy in Vegas, I think the ball.
Hey,
is,
girl.
This is about baseball. I think the ball is in play whenever
back.
The pitcher has the ball on the mound. It would have to cover when runners steal bases.
She's chiming in on our argument. I love it.
Yeah, and I just.
Oh my God!
I need to go back and look at the numbers on that.
What are you
he
oh
just
my God
himself?
About?
It's just
more emails coming
tons,
in.
Tons, and it's all about that argument about the soccer and the football.
That's because all the soft Europeans are chiming in.
Michael
that,
says
that's what they should
Andy
be about.
Hart
that's
again.
What that's what you talked about. That's what they're going to write in about. It's like the stupid political talk we had yesterday on the radio.
It's great.
That's
but
no one called
nobody
in.
Calls
that's
in
all
about.
The calls. Are, yeah, but we had
you.
Calls,
but not enough. Not passion.
It's great hearing all this off-season talk. It's Mick from Ireland, and I don't really care if you call football soccer because I'd call it soccer as well because we have a Gaelic football over here, so it's soccer. But my question to you is why do Americans call the winner of the Super Bowl world champions? Because they aren't really world champions, only American champions. I know no other country plays. It's a question I always get asked as a fan. Keep up the good work, and a 3-hour show would be great.
That's why it's called world yeah. champions. No one else plays the game.
Right. And if so there if ever the only... is a Canadian team, then they would be.
But if you're the best of regardless, wherever they are, if you're the best of everyone who plays,
right.
you're the champion
you're the
of world the
world. Champion.
Yeah, right. but there is a Canadian Football League.
Now, do they call the World Series? They call it the World Series, right?
Do they call the World Series the World Champion?
Yes.
They that's do, what they right? call it the World Series.
That's what I was about to say.
But that you can make the case that there are other pro leagues around the world. And, in fact, there's a movement now
afoot.
To have the American
yeah,
baseball
never
play
go.
The Japanese world champions.
Right.
Yeah. Or champions.
I did see that. That's never going to happen.
But there is a Canadian Football League, Fred.
That's true.
So
it's a good point.
You know?
Yep.
I think it is kind of foolish. It shouldn't be world champions unless it's,
I think
like
it's
the
fine.
World Cup, the Olympics.
I
those are world champions.
They would wipe the floor with whatever
other
group you want to put together.
I have no problem.
Still.
So, and here's another thing. If they do end up having someday a team in London or Mexico or Canada, do
Canadian?
They have to change it from the National Football League? It's no longer just a nation.
The International Football League?
Yeah. Just something to think about.
That's a good point by you.
Tim in Baltimore.
I won't be thinking about, but that's okay.
Tim, I think Fred should be the head of the World Doping Society.
Tim,
he's a dope.
I don't see why that is so out of the question.
I'm just kidding, Fred.
I mean, if you're the national
it's
football,
point,
it's one nation, right?
It's the International Bowl, right, or the International Series, or
Fred, you and I
it?
Should break off from this. Right, we're very serious.
We're
one.
The only ones that can
once
think
again,
past our nose.
Once again, I agree.
Well, Eric can't
with
think
that.
Past his nose.
Eric, you've had a good show today. I agree with a lot of the points you've made today, especially that one.
Tim in Baltimore. European football evolved into rugby football. Rugby football evolved into rugby league and rugby union in Australian rules football. Rugby league has a 4-down system, so American football evolved from rugby
football.
League.
I thought it evolved from... He started with football. Wasn't the first thing he said
football? American football evolved from.
Oh, but I thought he said something about Gaelic football. And
Brian
football.
Says I'd name it gridiron, or we could just switch the name to soccer and soccer to football, or not. Let's just not and get drunk.
How about sock 'em?
I agree with that last part.
sock 'em. It's all about hitting. Rock 'em, sock 'em.
You know, it's funny. Before the game, I had this like urge to have a beer, a nice ice cold beer.
What game?
You know, you get that hankering every once in a while.
What game?
Oh, Paul knows.
I mean, before the show.
Oh, before the show.
Yeah,
so shut up.
I just had hankering for a nice ice cold beer.
I had a couple of beers while watching the playoff games on Sunday.
Did you? Just a couple.
Two, exactly.
That's because his wife.
Two cases.
Paul, I think you should counsel Big Baby, Glenn Davis. He flipped out because a fan was calling him fat and lose some weight, fat boy. You've been dealing with that for years and haven't flipped out yet, so you might be able to show him, you know, the ropes.
But really,
you want to break off with him?
I haven't really been dealing with it for years because you're the only one who does it.
Yeah, but I've been here for a while.
It's funny.
No one else calls you fat?
No, not like you do.
Come on. Well, obviously not like I do.
Mark from Cheddar. The name soccer was not created by Americans. Christ. It was first used by English people but never took off, so we will have to take the stick
I just want to
for
thank
creating
you
the name. Therefore, we cannot get annoyed
at Americans for time
using
of the
original
so
name of the
go
game.
Go screw yourself, Swansea boy. You guys made it up over there.
Andy from Ireland. I think the reason it's called football is because it originated from English football, soccer. So did rugby. Rugby is called rugby football, too, because it also originated from football, soccer.
Right.
They all came from the same sport, so they all call it rugby football because it comes from the town of Rugby, and American football because it comes from America.
We got to hurry.
These 4 hours are
picks.
Like my favorite parts of the whole week, and he ruined it all.
Is it true that there's an Irish guy that works for this organization whose name is Cahalic?
Oh.
Cahal.
Oh. That's funny, too. Is his first name Al?
No. I think that is his first
name.
Oh,
his first name is Cahal? What's his last name?
Conlon.
Cahal Conlon. Not as funny as Al Cahal.
Jason says, change the name to Anabolic Chess. It's not bad. Everyone's just kind of hit the wall here.
I haven't hit the wall. I just don't have any interest in this.
Fred, what about calling American football tackle football, or tackle for short?
Maybe Brandon Merriweather can't play.
Maybe then the Patriots secondary will get a clue. Well, see, everyone wants to talk about it. All right, we have to do the picks.
We have two games.
We have two games.
All right, so
there's 15 minutes to go.
Emails.
We're in some more soccer emails.
Let's see.
Damned if we
can. We get back to those what would you trade Brady for stuff?
There's no
that
more.
For you, a bag of balls.
I had two that I said yes to.
I'm actually only by the first round pick and Calvin Johnson, so I can have Bradford
Rivers
and Johnson.
Rivers, I would do, and the Stafford Johnson one I'd think about. I'd have to see a little more Stafford.
Vince Young replaced Rivers.
Why can't you just ignore it? I heard.
I know.
I heard him.
I know.
According to
what
Vince? According to NFL.com, Vince Young replaced Rivers.
Oh, okay.
It is going to be
an
absolutely terrible bowl.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, there's not going to be anybody good playing.
That's how it usually is, though.
Vince Young will throw the ball right to Brandon Merriweather. It'll bounce off. I mean, it's terrible.
That's how the game usually plays out.
Who's going to replace Manning? Jamarcus Russell? Because Manning's not going to go when they win, right?
That's true.
Well, that's true.
Charlie Fry.
Now, seriously, let's pick the next one. Who's next in line at quarterback?
I mean, obviously, Roethlisberger said no.
I would assume.
Right? So you got to go down to Matt Castle.
No, boy, no.
Carson Palmer is having surgery. He can't go.
Mark Sanchez.
David Garrard.
Who might not be able to go. Sanchez, that is.
Chad Henne.
Ryan Fitzpatrick.
He did complete 51% of his passes.
Carson Palmer.
Your boy, Gradkowski.
Oh, Bruce.
He won a game or two.
He's a winner. That's all he does. Okay, go, Fred.
Tassin is from Connecticut. He says, I really enjoy the show, especially after the Patriots are out. The show is the last resort for me. Good job. Comments first. After Harrison and other stars retired, I feel there is no one filling their shoes in terms of the tackles. Even if you look at fantasy tackle numbers, none of the defensive personnel made it even in the top 25. Who do you think could be a certain leader in defense for the Patriots? Other than Vince Wilfork, he's a good player, don't get me wrong. And how about spending some money and getting a player like Patrick Willis, Jonathan Vilma, or London Fletcher? Any chance of good defensive players like them being available?
Patrick
Willis?
Well, putting Patrick Willis and London Fletcher in the same sentence is...
Yeah, and there's no chance that he's
no
going to be available.
Patrick Willis
is going
to be
at some point he'll hit free agency, I would think, but
yeah.
I don't see them letting him go.
There's no way Mike Singletary allows him to go.
London Fletcher could be available because, if you ask me, he's a diamond dozen
tackling machine.
I'd take London Fletcher. I'd put him out there for Gary Guyton and move Gary Guyton to the outside in a situational role, but... I mean, if you're talking about building a defense,
I would take him too, but that's only like a year fix or maybe two.
But I think he's better than Guyton. I think Guyton's miscast.
Oh, he's 1,000 times better than Guyton. No question.
The answer there is Jerod Mayo. The answer is always Jerod Mayo. Centerpiece of the defense, linebacker,
you hope
leader.
He develops into
the
that
answer
leader that
is always
for.
Jerod Mayo. There is a lot on Jerod Mayo's plate, and if he doesn't develop into that, you're not going to be what you should be.
Brian in Tuscaloosa. Hey, guys, and Eric. I Googled Andy Hart / James Sanders, and they own the first six results. Wow. Love the swearing. Keep it coming. More swearing and more sweaters in 2010.
It's a V-neck.
Today he's got a short V-neck olive sweater on.
Hunter green. And it's not short.
We went shopping yesterday. I wanted him to buy.
You went shopping with Eric?
We went shopping.
Wow.
We had the run of Patriot Place, but I wanted him to buy a zipper. It was like a quarter zipper so he could confuse you and really wonder.
Right. You zip it up, it's a crew neck. You zip it down, it's a V-neck.
It's half, it's this, it's that.
And it was Argyle, so it was all different colors.
I should tell people, if you're in the greater Foxborough area, G.H. Bass & Company is essentially giving away everything in their store. Right. Everything is at least 60% off, but then there's another 20 or 30%. They have, you know, those big charts they put up, original price. Right. I bought a nice fleece yesterday for $20. I mean, you can get jackets.
I bought a pair of pants. They gave me $10.
Yeah, seriously.
What were you guys doing there?
We went walkabout. I went walkabout with Eric.
Oh.
Wow, holding hands. Please retire.
I could have because no one would have ever seen me holding his hand because we didn't pass another soul.
And there was nobody in the G.H. Bass store working there for the first 15 minutes
we
that thought
we were
there.
Like, it was like a movie when everyone else on the planet has been abducted and you're still walking around. There was no one in the store. The guy must have had an Andy Hart problem in the back or, I won't say it, Eric.
And then they saw Paul. It was like, zombie!
No. He just says no to his own joke.
Science.
Brian says, please.
No, they said George Martel.
Please retire.
He doesn't like that when he
Brian says, please retire the following words and or phrases from future shows. Binky, button hooked, it's a business, that's more for the players, and you know, make sure Sammy Morris complies. Also, a suggestion, move Eric to Rook's show and rename it Negative Nellies at 2.
Suggestion to this idiot, don't write in the show again.
In all seriousness, I was reading somebody's quote the other day, and they were referencing a player running a button hook, and they said, who runs button hooks anymore? No one runs button hooks anymore, but he runs button hooks. And I was like, so we can still use it. It's still a...
Troy Brown said that, right?
Oh, yeah, Troy Brown. Yeah,
about still Sam Aiken.
Yeah, he runs button hooks, Sam Aiken, and he didn't stem it or something. I don't even know what that means.
Apparently, there's a...
He's got a scrape C on that.
There's an article out there titled, Andy Hart Proclaims Clay Matthews Stinks. It's from February 17, 2009.
Okay. I definitely never
at the combine.
Oh, at the combine. Andy Hart.
I didn't love Clay Matthews.
On Tuesday's PFW
that.
In Progress, ripped into USC LB Clay Matthews. Andy basically said he stinks.
Wow. So. See, now you just...
Now it's basically right. You said that. But I would sort of agree with you. Like I wasn't overly enamored with his tape.
And the theory we also use that they can't all be good because they're all a product of a good defense seems to be flawed because Cushing,
all three of
Matthews,
those guys,
and Maluga were all very good.
All three of those guys had very good rookie seasons.
Did you know they had sex rehab clinics?
I've been 7 times.
Why, yes, sir.
Yeah.
Tiger Woods is in
it's
a sex
addiction.
Rehab clinic in
it's an
Mississippi.
Addiction.
Who isn't?
Right. Women.
All right, so now we should probably get to the picks.
Okay.
Why?
We still only have
two games.
No, let's do the picks, and then we can keep going.
155. It's 155.
It's not 155.
This is not an accurate clock. The battery barely works. It's right here on my computer.
I don't know. We started at noon, and it says it's close to 2. No, don't throw it out. We need it.
It's off by a minute. It's an inaccurate clock.
And your computer's so accurate, it said Tyrone's on the phone, and he called 3 weeks ago.
That's not the computer. That's, you know, the operator.
You. Yes, the operator.
I agree.
Yes.
I don't operate that message system. That's a Dr. Dvorkin production.
Mr. Brown goes to Washington.
Last week, by the way, I went 3-1, and you guys went 2-2.
Okay.
But I was dead on.
With the winners.
With the winners.
I was 2-2 with the spread, and you guys were also 2-2, I believe.
Okay.
I didn't bring my notebook. I forgot.
All right.
So that email is going to be angry. Cause
so Scott on the Cape, can you help us out?
So that's why. That's another reason why the results aren't always the same as what you guys record. I think you guys had.
What the?
You may have been 1-3 with the spread, Fred. I can't remember. But Andy and Eric had New Orleans winning and covering. I had New Orleans winning, but Arizona covering. You had Arizona winning outright.
Right. Hmm. And then I saw Monty Beisel starting.
We all lost San Diego, both sides. And
but we all thought they could win.
I'm the only one who had Minnesota. I had Minnesota winning and covering, and you guys all picked Dallas. Mm. The other game,
I've learned my lesson.
The other
I'm
game, we
Dallas.
All had Indianapolis and all won.
Wow, big disappointment there, huh?
So this week we
San
have
San Diego
games.
And Dallas, big losers in that weekend.
Big losers, and then the head big. Coaches get extensions.
Yeah, and both head coaches get extensions. Yeah,
that's one of those things. That's quite unfortunate when you know, especially in Norv Turner's case, you know that was already done, and they didn't want to announce it until the season was over.
Yeah. And oh, by the way.
But as an owner, you know you're extending a guy to something you're going to have to pay when he no longer works for you. Because there's no way those guys reach the end of those deals. It's
part of the business. Okay, so what do we got? The first game is
the first
NFC game
is the AFC Championship game with the Jets at Indy. The Colts are favored by 7.5.
7.5.
7.5.
Yeah.
Oh, Colts by 7.5. I am going to take... I really don't want to pick the Jets. I'm going to take the Jets.
To win?
To win.
Wow.
I am going to take the Jets to run the football, and I am just going to continue. I know they'll play defense. They'll keep them in it. The Colts haven't scored as many points as the old Colts, and I just think Sanchez isn't going to screw it up right now. He hasn't shaved his beard since they last lost or whatever, and he's going to ride that hockey
Looks
beard
stupid.
Into the Super Bowl where he loses.
Looks stupid.
We're going to be arguing this on Debate Friday tomorrow. For those of you who are, log on to Patriots.com, who should you root for this weekend? I'm going to be arguing for the Jets in that, and I'm going to take them to win.
Yeah. Two Jets winners. Wow.
Paul? 7.5 point.
I like Indy in the game. I'm a little concerned about that extra half, but I do think this is the week that someone gets up by two scores, and you can't just methodically run Sean Green and Thomas Jones even when you're down. I mean, they had so many possessions in that. I think they had 5 3 and outs to start the game against San Diego. I think the Colts defense is better than San Diego's.
Yeah.
So if they could force 5 3 and outs to start the game, if the Colts do that, I think you can turn out the lights.
Yeah.
Because they'll score in at least two or three of their possessions, and the game will be over.
Yeah.
I think that if the game played out about a month ago, I think the Colts would have won that game going away. Big plays are always the concern. You know, Brad Smith had that huge kick return. As long as the Colts don't allow a big play, I think they win this game easily.
Yeah, I think it's going to be an amazing chess match between Peyton Manning and the Jets defense, and how quickly can Manning get it out of his hands on those quick slants, and then how can, you know, the Jets react to that? They seem to have 12 men on the field when they're playing defense. It's amazing. I think, you know, one of the reasons why the Jets get away with what they do on defense is because they're such good tacklers. The speed is obvious, but when they get there, they make the tackle.
They're a ferocious defense.
What I like about the way they do is when they send those all-out blitzes, they don't play 10 yards off the guy.
Right.
They know that we're coming.
Right.
And they have the confidence that someone's going to get there and make the ball come out quick. So I'm going to be right in my guy's shirt.
Yeah.
And even if they complete the pass, I'm going to bury him right there. They had a play over the middle.
They have pretty good corners, though, that allow you to do that.
Right.
Obviously, when you have Revis, that covers up a lot of your faults. But
Shepard's pretty good.
There was a play over the middle that Rivers caught the blitz, and they blitzed everybody. Just dumped it over the middle to Mike Tolbert, who's a fullback. He's not going to make you miss. Brian Thomas
nailed
was
him.
Right in his grill when he caught the ball. Now, this is a defensive line. He's a defensive end, really. He's right there when he caught it. It was some sort of zone blitz, and he was dropped into the zone and buried him. Now, it was a good play for San Diego. They caught the blitz, and they got like a 7 or 8 yard gain.
Right.
But that play can be a big play.
I know what you're saying.
And they don't allow that.
And they have the confidence to say, look, the only place you're going to be able to look is this guy, and we're going to overplay this guy. You're not going to beat us long because we're going to get to you so fast.
You know who has
There's
a big
no
game
way
in this
that
game?
You can do it.
Joseph Addai, if he's healthy.
He could.
As a receiver, not
he
as
could.
A runner.
He could.
I think
the key
ball.
Is Dallas Clark. That's why I'm picking against him, because I hate Dallas
Clark. Having said that, I'm picking the Colts. I think that Peyton Manning is one of the quarterbacks that can overcome that type of defense. But I'll be rooting for the Jets.
That's funny. I'll be rooting for the Colts, and I think the Jets are going
to
win.
I'm rooting for the Jets. Just anything to against Bill Polian. I'm happy with that.
Shaking his hands. Just sort
But I'm going to pick the Colts. Like I said, I think they're going to get up and get that lead, and the Jets won't be able to answer.
Got
to
hurry.
All right. The other game, the nightcap, 6:40 start, is New Orleans in Minnesota at the Superdome. I think we're all in agreement. We're all rooting for the Saints.
Oh, yes.
Saints are favored by 3.5.
Rooting for the Saints, picking the Saints. I think the Saints are going to roll. They were clicking last week. I expect that to continue. I think when they are feeling good, They are tough to stop, and they're feeling good right now. And I'm counting on Reggie Bush to show up again, because if Reggie Bush plays anything like he played last week, the Saints are virtually unbeatable in my mind.
Please let this be the week that my prediction of Favre costing them their playoff chances come true this week.
Please. Don't have too many weeks left.
I think the key to this game is the Saints' offensive line, which I thought played an unbelievable game last week. They'll need to do it again. I think they'll be good enough to make sure that Jared Allen doesn't disrupt things, and Ray Edwards, and that pressure. Because if they get, I don't think they'll run the ball anywhere near as effectively as they did last week. So it's going to be more on Breeze. So if they put a lot of pressure on him, I think you could get some turnovers, because he'll throw some interceptions.
Yeah, I mean, Minnesota played out of their minds last week. I didn't think they had that left. I thought that they had already peaked. All of a sudden, what got them there came back. You know, the defensive line, the offensive line. But I'm going to pick the Saints. I think this is a lot tougher game than the AFC Championship game will be.
To do like I did.
Watch Brett Favre.
I like the Saints too. By the way,
to do like I did last week.
Scott down the Cape
with
I like
the Jets.
The Saints too.
My one fear is Adrian Peterson. I think he's ready for $170, yeah. And if he gets $170,
he might. Right. But the Saints can put up enough.
My fear
points
is turnovers by the Saints. That's how the Vikings won the game last week. Those fumbles.
Yeah, don't be surprised if the Saints get down early, because they do in every game. All right, that's going to be it for this edition of PFW in Progress. Have a good AFC and NFC Championship weekend, and we'll see you next Tuesday.